Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Astrology Wednesday, and I just love it because, you know, I don't know too much about astrology, although I did buy a book called Idiot's Guide to Astrology, and I had to read it 3 times, and I know I'm not an idiot, so it's a really tough subject, and I am so happy to have these two people here that totally understand astrology. Even though Kelly rocks astrology, she does her Atlantean life and birth cards. She is still in awe of Ron because he does teach us a lot of astrology. He is a teacher. He has studied astrology for a very long time. I'm only 15, so he's a lot older than me, even though we share our same birthday. So he's been rocking this world with astrology for a very long time. Let me introduce everybody. Hi, everyone. I'm Bonnie Albers. This is Bonnie Albers on Air, Astrology Wednesday. We have Ron Cole. You can get a hold of Ron. He's our resident astrologist at livingastro@aol.com. You can email him. He's available for readings. His readings are so spot on. If you think you're getting a half an hour reading here, his readings go almost 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. And I can tell you it is very worth it. Then we have our little lady, Kelly Coulter. She does the Atlantean and life and birth cards. They have the planets in them. So that's why I paired these two guys up at, from the beginning of our show. And they just seem to really rock together. Kelly will be taking callers. She will take callers at 2 after Ron does his astrology. We have someone who won the astrology reading last week, and her name is Organic Skies. I know she is so excited to get this reading. We will pick you up, Organic, in about 1:25, the time here, Eastern Daylight. And before I tell everybody how to get a hold of Kelly, she will get on and tell you. You can call Kelly. She's available for reading. She has all kinds of things on her site, too, because she also rocks coffee and all kinds of stuff. So before we let Kelly in, and Kelly, I'm sorry I had to mute you. I was getting feedback, and I don't know whose computer it is. But hi, Ron.
Hi there. Good day to you, Bonnie, and good day, everyone.
I am so excited to hear what you're talking about. I just want to tell you, Ron, last week was a it was just a thriller. Everybody loved what you did with Saturn. It kind of took the scariness, the out of Saturn, and I love that, even though I still put my hand up, shut my eyes, and turn my head when I see Saturn coming. So I do want to tell you we were so happy to hear Saturn, and I just can't even imagine what you're going to talk about today, but you sent me an email, and we're going to talk about something so cool that's coming up. I mean, it's in our skies, and everybody is going to be affected by it. April, I want to tell everybody, and I'm sure Ron will confirm it. April has been a heck of a month start for everybody. We've got big, heavy hitters in the sky. All the cardinal signs are affected. And I can tell you, if you're affected, well, look to your astrology and see why. So, Ron, can you tell us a little about that? And then I know you're going to head into the eclipse.
Yes, there are quite a few things going on now. For example, Mars is at its closest approach to the Earth in around 7 years, and therefore it's seen much brighter and much more red, glowing like a red eye in the sky in the evening. And this is kind of interesting because coming up later on, and we're going to talk about this one next week, there's going to be a cardinal grand cross. And that's going to be very interesting, and I'll use the word interesting. But before that, we've got something coming up within the next week, before the next show. So this is going to be of prime importance for everyone now who's listening to pay attention to this. We are going to have a total lunar eclipse, and this is going to occur in the early morning hours of April 15th, which is the day that income tax is due. So
Wow. It's
going to be visible in our part of the world. It'll be visible in North America, Central and South America, and a little bit about the very Eastern Pacific. So we will be here in North America in the path of totality of this eclipse. Now, this is one of four now, total lunar eclipses that we're going to be having in the next year and a half. And I want to share with everyone how rare that is. On the average, there is a total lunar eclipse about every year to year and a half. So in a year to year and a half time, we should expect one to occur. We've got four of them. And I'm going to give everyone the dates and the times that they're going to be occurring and the astrological sign they're in. So everybody get out your pens and pencils because you need to know this.
I got to get mine. Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. The first one is occurring for us in the early morning hours of April 15th, 2014. The point of exact eclipse is 3:47 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you are not in Eastern Time, then just adjust it for every hour that you are different than Eastern Time, and that will be where it will be occurring for you. And so I would advise everyone to please set an alarm. I know that's going to sometimes disrupt your sleep, but this is a major rare event, and you need to see it. So hopefully it will be a clear sky wherever you are at. Set your alarm to get up and view this eclipse. You don't have to get up at 3:47. I'd recommend you get up maybe just a little before that at 3:30, or if you're in the Eastern time zone, or 3:35. Now, if you are watching the eclipse form, it will be occurring for a number of hours before and after 3:47 a.m. Eastern Time, but it is at that point that the eclipse is exact. Now, this is also nicknamed a blood moon. There is a nickname
for total lunar eclipses,
and they're called blood moons, and that's because when this total eclipse occurs, the moon is blood red from top to bottom, from side to side, and that's when it will be at its greatest blood red full look, 3:47 a.m. Now, this eclipse is occurring in the sign of Libra, 25 degrees, 16 minutes Libra. So everybody in the world who has any planets or major points near 25 Libra, they will be affected by this eclipse. And to answer, well, what does that mean? You have to have an astrologer do your chart, or you have to be familiar with it yourself to know what you have near and around that degree to see what the eclipse will trigger. What's also interesting is the moon will turn this blood red, and we will also have Mars, the red planet, not that far away from the eclipse, and you will be able to see both of them in the sky if you, again, have a clear night. So cross your fingers, you're going to have a clear sky to be able to see both of those. Interesting, Bonnie, and I mentioned this to you in the email, is the four eclipses that are occurring in the next year and a half, this one being the first, all occur on Jewish holidays.
Yes. I wonder what that means. No?
Well, astrologically, eclipses trigger events. They are said to trigger change. They are said to trigger challenges. They are said to trigger energy. And this is more the modern-day interpretation. In more past times, ancient times, they were considered very negative. Eclipses were said to trigger wars and movements of armies and earthquakes and tsunamis or anything that would be of danger on the Earth's surface or for the inhabitants of the surface. Now, I'm not quite such an alarmist. I do believe eclipses are very powerful and that we must note them, but they are not necessarily always going to be an evil indicator like people in the past believed. So think about this, folks. If you were a person who was unaware of how heavenly energies and planetary patterns worked, and suddenly the bright full moon starts turning more and more red, 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 and to put us fully blood red, and you did not know what was going on, well, that could terrify anyone. And
how red occurs...
Well, this is what happens, Bonnie, is the Earth literally gets between the sun on one side of it and the moon on the other side of it and completely blocks the sun from bouncing off of the moon's surface. Now, the moon will look bright and a normal full moon earlier, much earlier that evening. So people will, if you're up in, let's say, 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night Eastern time, and see the moon, you'll say, well, where's this eclipse? It looks bright like a normal full moon. Well, it hasn't come into alignment yet. And what happens is the Earth's shadow literally crosses over the moon's surface and blocks out the sun. And so why do we not just have a black hole in space? Well, red happens to bend around the Earth. It is a color spectrum that actually will bend around the Earth and actually connect to and bounce off of the moon's surface, and that's why the moon turns that eerie blood red look, and it's nicknamed the blood moon. And
I didn't even know that.
Well, this only occurs during a total eclipse. It's called a blood moon. If you get a partial eclipse, the moon will turn reddish or somewhat red, and there will be a part of it that's whiter or clearer, and it won't be a full, total, deep blood red like this eclipse will be. So back to my comments. Eclipses have often been considered frightening. I don't want to scare anyone, but I do want people to know that they do produce new things. They produce change, change and trigger major new events. So that's the first eclipse. Are you ready for the second one?
Well, unless it's turquoise, yeah, go ahead.
The second one is October the 8th, 2014. It's a total lunar eclipse that will be occurring at 6:56 a.m. Eastern Time. And this one is at 15 degrees Aries, 5 minutes. Now, this exact eclipse will be pretty close to the sunrise in the east. And so it's not necessarily going to be seen here in the Eastern Time Zone. If you are in the western part of the United States, you'll see this eclipse, and it will be visible across much of the central to eastern Pacific Ocean area. So that eclipse will be at that time. Each eclipse seems to be moving westward, westward, westward every time it occurs. Now, the third eclipse, is April 4th, 2015, so close to a year from now, and it's a total lunar eclipse, a blood moon, as we say, at 8:01 a.m. Eastern Time, and we won't be able to see it because the sun will be up, at 14 degrees 24 minutes Libra. Now, who will see it will be people on the eastern edge of the Asian countries, and a little bit of the very far, far western Pacific will be able to see this eclipse. And then the fourth one, about a year and a half from now, is the most impressive one of all. Not necessarily for us, but what's going to happen. It's going to occur at the time of a super moon. And you'll hear this term used a lot, super moon. There is a time of the year in which the moon is the closest to the Earth, and it's nicknamed a super moon. And because the moon has an elliptical orbit, it gets closer to the Earth at some times and further away from the Earth at another time. Well, when it's at its closest point to the Earth, and let's say a full moon occurs, that full moon is going to be 14% bigger than the average full moon, and 17% brighter. Now, I remember some time back we had a super moon, and it was the night of a full moon, and the moon was so bright that night that it almost hurt your eyes. If you looking at it, Bonnie?
Yeah, I do.
That?
It was so huge. It was so beautiful, and it was in a water sign. I think it was either a Pisces or a Cancer moon because I remember it. And it was so, everybody I told to look at it just was so mesmerized. And, you know, everybody sees full moons. They happen once a month. But this full moon just, it just had something. And you could even see the craters in it. It was just so cool.
Yeah, I remember that. And it was so bright that if you looked at the moon for any length of time, it almost hurt your eyes. There was almost so much more light coming out of it. 17% brighter. Well, guess what? On the 28th of September 2015, we're going to have this super moon full moon eclipse. And this one will occur at 10:48 p.m. Eastern Time. But instead of thinking, well, we're going to see it exactly, who will see it will be the Eastern Mediterranean and Israel. This full moon, this blood moon, will be exactly over Israel and the Eastern Mediterranean when it occurs. And it happens to be at 4 degrees 40 minutes Aries. Again, all of these are Jewish holidays, as I believe that's the Festival of Trumpets. on that day. And that's a holiday in which Jews are told to encourage to look up at the sky and the heavens above them. So here will be this really large red blood moon eclipse visible there and in the eastern Mediterranean a little bit into the Middle East, to the Middle East.
Well, do you know what, Ron? I hope nobody asked me, anybody that's out there, even in chat, because I can't see chat right now. I don't have my computer. I can't see chat, so pardon me, but Kelly has chat on. But I am Jewish. But I don't really rock worldly religions while I'm down here, but I am Jewish. And if you ask me about the trumpet thing, I just won't know. So take Ron's word for it, because I know everybody or some people out there know I'm Jewish. I do not know holidays except Passover, the one that's coming, and Hanukkah, which always, you know, my kids remind me of because it's for presents. So, but I think this is so cool, Ron, because you knew that and I didn't. So how about that?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, well, what does this do to Israel? What does it do to the world in Israel? You know, there is really no definitive way to say, look, this is exactly what's going to happen. It just coincides that every one of these total lunar eclipses, these blood moons, because of the color they turn, happen to fall on four different Jewish holidays in the next year and a half. Now, reportedly, when this occurred in the past, major things happened for the country of Israel. I believe just around or shortly after the time that the country of Israel was established, there were also four eclipses that fell on Jewish holidays. And there are other things that have happened in the history that have triggered events in the Holy Land when these eclipses have happened. So my point is, watch and see the effect of these four total lunar eclipses. Now, it's perfectly fine to use the term blood moon as long as people don't misunderstand that. Well, they might think it's war or bloodshed or violence because sometimes everyone who uses that term repeatedly, someone who doesn't understand it may think that that's what you're saying or that's what you're referring. But that happens to be the case when you use the term. Explain to the individuals you're talking to that that's the color of the moon. It looks literally like human blood. It's fascinating how it looks that tone. Go ahead, Bonnie. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you. No, I keep interrupting you, Ron, because you're so interesting, and I've got so much, you know, things to ask you. But I do have to tell you, you know, I love the color blood. Not that I am a vampire or anything like that, but I am a nurse. And so blood was what I was used to for a lot of years. And I love all of those vampire movies. And I don't know, my daughter watches those werewolf things. So, you know, the blood moon, I could just see howling at the moon and the blood dripping down. So that's so cool to me. And I rock with that, but, you know, in a good way. So
this full moon is coming up on the 15th of April. It will be red before 3:47 a.m., but it won't be totally deep, completely from edge to edge, blood red. And that's why I recommend this is a major event, even though you might say, well, it'll rupt my sleep. I will have to get up if I want to go out and look at it. I don't want to be interrupted. But this is one time in which you really should consider setting an alarm and going outside and looking up at this eclipse moon. So it's going to be 3:47 a.m. Eastern Time, 2:47 a.m. Central Time, and then we keep backing up, 1:47 a.m. Mountain Time, and those on the Pacific are lucky. Many of them haven't even gone to bed yet. It'll be at 12:47 a.m. Pacific Time. So,
well, I'll tell you, Ron, I go to the gym at 4:30 in the morning, so I have to get up at, I know I go at 5:30, so I get up at 4:30. So for me to get up at 3 or 3:30 is not going to be too much of a stretch. So that's pretty cool for me. It's so early that, you know, you hope somebody doesn't miss it because it's such an event. And, you know, I've got to ask you, and maybe, I know you're saving this for next week, and I love these blood moons. But I've got to ask you a question. Is the two grand crosses we have, are they both next week, or one's 1 week after each other? Because I hear there's two this month.
Actually, there is a grand cross, a single grand cross in cardinal signs that will be exact on the 22nd of this month, April 22nd.
Okay.
But after that cross begins to end and break up, there's a period afterwards that we have what we call a T square, like the letter T. And that's because a grand cross involves four planets that have to be in a certain alignment, making exact angular or directive afflictions to each other. And that's what's going to be occurring this month. It's already starting its formation, even as we're doing this show, and in the next few days and weeks, peaks, and is exact on the 22nd. And then it'll slowly break up. Jupiter was one of the points of this, is the one that breaks it up, actually. It's a big outer planet, but it moves faster and moves out of the configuration. But Mars, Pluto, and Uranus, the other three candidates of this, are going to form a T-square, and that stays in effect until July 14th.
And our birthday!
Then it'll be over on that date. So I think that's very interesting. I believe the Grand Cross's beginning influence is April 4th. It's exact on April 22nd. It begins to weaken around May the 8th, but it's not over. And it's over June the 8th. That's far as the Grand Cross. However, the T-square continues after June the 8th and goes all the way till July 14th. So what that means is this. We've got some kind of pretty heavy affliction going on in the sky starting from the beginning of April all the way to the middle part of July. And this is a long-lasting one. So astrologers all over the world have been studying this. And I'd like to talk more about that next week, because we're going to be getting closer to the fullness of this grand cross.
Okay, that's not a problem, Ron. And I have to tell you, the only reason I ask is I know from the beginning of April, I know people were talking, everybody was kind of on a short string. And how I tried to explain it was this. You have four big heavy hitter planets that are trying to be in a square, and when you've got Mars there, there's no outlet. You just keep going in and in and in and in because you can't find an outlet. And I think, I don't know how to explain it better than that, but I think each, and I know it's not so, but it seems like each of those big cardinal planets or cardinal signs that are being hit are just being bombarded with all kinds of energy and aggressive and short temper. And I really believe, because when those planets fit in that, you know, in that grand cross, all the energy is in the middle and it can't get out. So I wanted everybody to know just really quickly that it isn't being affected right now. And if you're a little short or your temper's a little bad or you kind of are waiting for things to happen, I think it has to do with this grand cross. What do you think, Ron?
Absolutely. And when you said the energy is in the middle, actually the Earth is in the middle point of all of this grand cross. Even though some planets are closer to us than others, they still form within our solar system this heavy affliction. And what's very interesting about all of this is, if you all remember your biblical studies, there's a part of the Bible that says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the heavens. And that indicates that sun, moon energies do give indications of things such as creating eclipses and in the heavens, the skies above us. So we are in a period of very interesting energy, to say the least, right now, with this first of four blood moons occurring on Tuesday morning, and then this formation, which is already going on now, of this grand cross peaking, and then staying in effect, really, in all practical purposes, till the 8-degree orb is breached, and that's going to be June the 8th, and then a T-square going on, and then another total lunar eclipse, October 8th, and then two more next year, two more blood moons. So we are in a period of some very interesting astrological configurations, and these tend to be challenging stress producers. And above all, Mars, well, not above all, but kind of adding to the pot here, Mars is at its closest to the Earth in almost 7 years. And if everyone remembers years and years back when Yellowstone had those major fires, and they were even almost afraid of the lodge burning down, well, Mars was at its closest to the Earth at that time, too. So a lot of people in the astrology world were going, well, look, fires not only in Yellowstone, but energies of Mars rules fire, energy of Mars-type things are at high peak times right now. And so Mars, which rules anger and aggression and temperament and impetuousness and action and activation, its very closeness to the Earth is really quite interesting because it's so much brighter and so much bigger. You could see Mars tonight. You don't have to wait for the eclipse. It's out there, and it'll look like a big, well, not a big, it's not big like the moon, but it'll look like a real strong, glowing little red eye in the sky. It'll be like the iris of the eye. And because it's much closer to us, it'll be a brighter red and a slightly bigger intensity than normal.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Ron, before I bring on our guest, who can't wait for her reading, I want to tell you, I'm going to be out there looking at that planet. I know my husband was. He takes a big, he has some type of program on his iPad that we got. It's called Sky. I found it. It's called Sky Guide. And you can see in real time, and it tells you what's up in the sky. So it's so cool. If anybody wants to look at that, you can download it for free if anybody has an iPad or iPhone or any Android. It's called Sky Guide. Now, I have the updated one, but the free one's just as good, and it tells you everything about that whatever is in the sky, and it's in real time. So, Ron, are you ready for this reading? Because I know this little girl is.
I sure am, and I want to make one final comment before we go to the reading.
Sure.
If you want to look at where the Mars is at, it's going to be in the sign of Libra, and right now it's like 19 Libra. On the time of the eclipse, I believe it's 16 Libra, and the eclipse is 25 Libra, so they're going to be pretty darn close to each other in the sky. So when you're looking at that eclipse, and that is really overwhelming you with its amazingness, look around and find that red star that's very bright. Well, it's not a star. You'll be seeing Mars.
Wow. You know what, Ron? You and I live close enough to each other. Maybe you'll sleep over, and we can go and look at it together.
Oh, that would be fascinating.
Yes,
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, you know, anytime. I've got a couple of rooms, and you know that we have a big balcony. We can get out there and take a look. So I'm going to bring in Organic Skies. I think it's Maggie. So hold on, and here we go. Maggie?
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
I know you're so excited about this, and we're so excited for you because Ron rocks. And, you know, I'm so happy that you emailed me. I saw your name, and I thought, yes, girlfriend. So, Maggie, this is Ron. Ron, this is Maggie.
Hi, Ron.
Hello,
Thank
Maggie.
You so very much for doing my chart for me.
Well, I'm quite excited to do it. And like I say with everyone, it sounds like an open record. Your chart is fascinating, and I really mean that. I've got it right here in front of me, and there are four placements in the sign of Pisces. And also,
wow.
You were born on the new moon, which is the opposite of the full moon. That means the sun and moon were sitting in the same sign of the zodiac, sitting adjacent to each other. And you've got the sun in Pisces and the moon in Pisces. That literally means you're a double Pisces. Yes, that means the sign of Pisces is very intensified in the chart because of the two major points, the luminaries, the sun and moon, both in the same sign. But along with them, Maggie, you've got Mercury in Pisces and Venus in Pisces. Now, when you were born, the sign of Gemini was the sign rising or coming up over the eastern edge of the earth in your birth city. So it was the sign of honor coming over the eastern horizon point. And that's called your ascendant or rising sign. And that is a very intelligent sign. That's a sign that contributes to smarts, if we want to use the term. It contributes to a higher IQ. It contributes to qualities of mind and curiosity, thinking, ideas, and conceptualization. And Jupiter was in Gemini, but it had already risen about half an hour before your birth, and was already in the very low eastern sky of the city that you were born in or location. But you also have, I'd like to go through where all your planets are just so you have them now. Your sun is in Pisces. Your moon is in Pisces. Mercury in Pisces. Venus in Pisces. And now we're going to get to other planets. Mars is in Sagittarius. Jupiter in Gemini, like I said. Saturn is in Scorpio. Uranus is in Cancer. Neptune is in Libra, and we're going to talk about that Neptune. There's something interesting there. And Pluto is in Leo. Now that we've got that foundation pattern laid, you've got four, five, six planets in water signs. Scorpio and Pisces are water. Yes, that's it, Bonnie. You said it. These three signs are the signs of emotions and feelings, but they're also the signs of extrasensory awareness and levels of understanding. So it's not just human emotions, it's intuitiveness. And this is a highly geared chart for intuition. You may not necessarily function like a professional psychic, but you could. You've got a chart that would put some of the professional psychics to shame if you ever develop this. You are prone to often have hunches, flashes of insight, gut-level sensings and knowings, just premonitionary energies, because the chart is so attuned to sensitive receptivity. You are also highly creative. Pisces is a sign that can create, but it can create from the abstract. It can take an abstract idea and run with it and do something that other people say, well, where did you ever come up with that idea? That's brilliant. What a different idea. What a different creativeness you have. Well, Pisces likes to do things like that. It likes to take things that maybe someone else hasn't really thought of yet or something that's kind of an abstract direction and manifest something highly unique and creative from it. Gemini puts the ideas in the mind, and Pisces gets the creativity together, and they form sometimes artistic or highly creative abilities. This is a sign, Pisces, that's very, very prone to pick up on energy vibrations. It's sensitive to vibrations coming off of other people, rooms and buildings, places and homes.
I want that.
Ideas that someone presents, like saying, oh, we're at business, are thinking of doing this idea, we're kicking it around the table, and you'll get an immediate impression from just that statement, whether it's going to be a good idea to pursue or a false one, and one that's not even worth their time. You're very, very sensitive to the energy emanation of that which is presented to you. And that's why you're quite good when you meet somebody. If you really listen to yourself and not cross your own wires and ignore it, you listen to yourself and you get a strong like or dislike, a strong yes or a strong no, pursue that, because what you're doing is you're receiving that energy vibration from a person you've just met or a place you've just entered into, like a room or a building, a house or something, and follow that, because your body, it's more than your body telling you. It's more than body talk. It's more like you're actually picking up on the energy that is manifested there. And you're
all my subtle bodies are picking it up.
Yes, on many levels. That's true, because Pisces is a sign that can function on the subconscious, and it can function in sleep state, and it can function in manifesting events in the sleep state. It's a sign that can work not always in the centered, awake, aware, focused reality that we think we always have to be in. This is the sign that is also associated with dreams, and not just getting fun dreams or interesting dreams or trying to interpret dreams, but dream energy that will give you psychic guidance and dream energy that you can do to actually help or heal yourself and other people. You could have more than just vivid dreams or lucid dreams. You could have dream energy where you can do very well in picking up on something that can be sent to another person or healing. You can actually create and manifest within the dream state, and that's also part of why I mentioned that term abstract, because the dream state is not, it's more of an abstract state of being where we are at night. Pisces is very comfortable with that state of being and very connected there. Now, this sign would not be that prominent in your birth chart if you did not need to work with the energy of Pisces in this lifetime as Maggie. And the ruling planet of all of Pisces is Neptune. And your Neptune is at 25 degrees Libra. And if people remember what I said earlier, they're going to say, oh, I see a connection, because the eclipse that's occurring on April 15th is at 25 degrees Libra, 16 minutes.
Wow.
That total lunar eclipse that I was mentioning, it's going to be exactly on your Neptune at 25 degrees Libra. Your Neptune's 42 minutes, but it's the same degree. So that eclipse is going to activate your Neptune in a very powerful and broad, dynamic way. Neptune being your ruler, the ruler of Pisces, this is a very important planet for you. And what will it do? I know. It will make your psychic ability even more powerful, more acute, stronger, and more profound than at other times. And this isn't just at the time of the eclipse and it's over. It's going to be very, very strong for about 6 months.
Nice.
It'll be from this April to October. Let's use the exact dates. From about April 15th to October 15th, you're in a highly prominent Neptunian-triggered energy in your chart from this eclipse. And that means your creativity will be incredibly high. Your receptivity of ideas and concepts, both intuitive and visualizing it, can be incredibly high, and your sense of getting gut-level feelings to do something or to proceed in certain ways will be incredible. Also, your vibrationary reaction to others and people will be even more sensitized. Now, what could be negative about it? Well, sometimes when there's an eclipse on Neptune, crowds, too many people, gets to us. It's almost like we're sensitive to the vibration of each person, and if there's a large party and everyone's maneuvering here and talking there and doing this and conversationary here, it scatters one's energy more because it's like there's too much going on. That's also crowds in street and shopping places. You might be more sensitive to the energy of many people. So what I would recommend you do, especially in that 6 months from April to October, is to put a certain membrane of white light protection around you wherever you go so that it will kind of bounce off all that excessiveness of so many people and their energies and their emanations, so it won't overwhelm you, drain you, or tire you, or confuse you. But that's one of the side effects of an eclipse on
Neptune. There's some people that don't want to come out of the house.
Oh, you can do anything, but you just need to be aware that your sensitivity and receptivity is going to be heightened from this eclipse. It may create sensitivity in your feet, toes, ankle, arch, heel, instep, because that's the area of the body ruled by Pisces, as well as the liver. So here's what I want to recommend. In that 6 months from April to October, spend as much time either having your feet on fresh growing grass or on beautiful sand or on the soil of the earth itself so that you can let go through your feet any tensions, negative energies, fears, blockages, restrictions. Let them go down into the earth, into the ground, into the soil, into the grass, and then move somewhere else, and then use the earth, not in a negative way, but as a Mother Gaia energy point to send refreshing, new, harmonizing, purifying, cleansing, and uplifting vibrations through your feet now back into your body. This is a very good exercise that anyone can do, but when you're a Pisces, your feet are very, very interesting. They are much more of a, it sounds like a terrible word, a way to dump negativities out of you and a way to receive refreshing, uplifting vibrations. And this can also be done indoors with foot baths, foot soaks, soaking your feet in certain herbs or, you know, combinations of things. This can be very prominently done, especially in that 6 months, because your feet will become more and more sensitive during that time. Not more and more. They will be very sensitive. So will be the liver. So any items that put a lot of strain on the liver are not necessarily good, but you can do some liver cleanses or take certain herbs or nutritional combinations that can work on cleaning and harmonizing the liver, you'll get way better results if you do it between April 15th and October 15th, the time that this eclipse is influencing your Neptune. Now, your dreams will get more profound. You'll remember them more. They'll be much more vivid. They'll be much more three-dimensional. Don't be afraid of that. That's also being heightened by this Neptune. You've got all of those Pisces planets in your house of job, career, business, and work. Now, first of all, the sun is up there. And the 10th house is the house I'm talking about. When the sun is in the person's 10th house, it makes them a very good leader, boss, organizer, or being a power principal individual in whatever work they do. They can handle power. They can ascend to positions of responsibility. They have the ability to be a certain energy focus. Now, up there also is the moon, which makes you working well with your emotions. You combine your heart and your feelings. The sun deals with the heart, and the moon deals with the feelings. And up there is Mr. Mercury, the planet of the mind, the ruler of your Gemini ascendant. And that's also extremely good for communicationary work. And then there's Venus. And Venus deals a lot with the energy of colors, the energy of color vibrations, and it deals with how colors can affect us. And Venus and the moon are very feminine energies in the astrological world, and both of those are in your career house. The sun is very masculine, and it's in there. So you have great power to help people balance the male-female sides of their nature. You can help men bring up and develop and be comfortable with and work more with their feminine energies, and you can help women not be afraid of working in their assertiveness and becoming more powerful and focused on power for their own good and for their own progress in life. You've got great ability to do that and work that way with people, and you do it on not only a conscious, direct way, you do it also on a subconscious way. You're very good with getting people to see issues that they don't see, that either they've been blind to or they've ignored or they've lied about it themselves and pretended it wasn't there. You've got the ability to take that vagueness away and make them understand the quality of what's there. So you've got a very good chart for getting into the psychological and psyche sign side of people. And boy, can you be a good intuitive reader. Like I said earlier, that's not a mistake in this chart. You can also help people balance their day-to-day work with their subconscious, with their dream state, with their different levels of existence, their physical body, their spiritual body, their mental body, their emotional body, and all the different levels of body reflection directions. You have great power to work with that because, you see, Pisces is often a sign that's here, alive, conscious in the physical world, but at almost at all times, there's a strong part of it that's tapped into and functioning in the subconscious, in the intuitive, in the inner psyche world. So it's the one sign that can be in almost like a dualistic plane of existence. And this is connected because its symbol is even two fish going in opposite directions. And one fish can be the physical, conscious, day-to-day thinking, day-to-day work, day-to-day action. And the other is the deeper inner subconscious. And you see, this is why when you read astrology books, Maggie, and you hear about Pisces being discussed, they will often say there are so many alcoholics, drug addicts, or people that have gotten into some form of escapism and it became addicted to them under the sign of Pisces. It's the sign that is very prone to addiction. Well, the reason why is that sign functions here and functions in the subconscious and I always call it the subliminal world at the same time. And if a person who doesn't really understand how they can connect to each other or have value to each other, there can be a schism that occurs within them. And as a result of that, something like a stimulant, a drug, an alcohol could take them and control them. That's why that sign is more prone to that. what Pisces individuals need to know, and you're a double Pisces and four planets there, is it is perfectly normal to be on the conscious and the subconscious plane at both times, even if you're more focused in awareness on one of them. But not to forget that you've got great power to affect other people's subconscious, their psyches, their inner work, their inner will, I meant to say. You could be a very good psychological counselor, reader, or worker because you can work with other people. You can motivate people not just outwardly, rah, 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 to go out and succeed, but inwardly too. And don't be afraid when you get the inner feeling and then the outer work and responsibility. They will always balance off of each other or need to be two different parts of you that are really one and the same, if you can understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
See, the two fish in Pisces are tied together. One fish is swimming one way, one is the other, but they're not separate fish. They are tethered together, and the one fish represents the conscious daily life, and the other one represents the subconscious. That's why Pisces can be so incredibly artistic, so incredibly creative, so genius-like in their art, in the work that they do, in the writings that they are capable of doing, because they're focused here, but they're almost channeling subconsciously things all the time. It's as if, more than any other sign of the zodiac, Pisces is focused alive in the world, but at the same time has a continuous, nonstop subconscious channeling going on, receiving energies, picking up on energies, picking up on feelings, picking up on vibrations, and also, beyond that, going into the level of seeing the inner as well as the outer. And so when you talk to a lot of Pisces people, they'll talk about things in the outer, and then they'll talk about the inner emotions, the inner feelings, the inner planes of being. This is the sign that is the most prone to do well in channeling, whether it's subconscious channeling or whether it is literally going into trance. It is the best sign for mediums because it can connect the bond between the world of those still in physical incarnation and those that are out of the physical body. There can be that interconnection. This sign has that ability. But this is a very deep sign to be born under because it's got two or more planes of existence of responsibilities to work with. And when someone is born under it and then doesn't know what this means that I'm just saying or doesn't know how to handle this, then they get scattered and end up trying to numb themselves with alcohol or escape reality with it or drugs. But it's also a sign that has great power to help people who have become addicted to something, whether it's gambling, spending, drugs, alcohol, or other things, and help them break that monkey that's on their back and that bond there and get them out into the world and functioning. You've got Uranus, the planet of the New Age, the ruler of the sign of Aquarius in your house of money. And that, again, is a very good place to be a good intuitive, to be a good astrologer, but it also means that's the planet of working independently, being individualistic in whatever work you do so you can be your own boss. You could end up owning your own company or starting and running your own company, being the captain of your own ship. It also means you can suddenly have flashes, suddenly, of insight out of the blue, like a bolt of blue from the heavens, and think of, oh, I got this breakthrough idea. I think I'm going to try it. Or I suddenly have this sense that I need to approach in this way and use these exact words. Uranus is the planet that can give you suddenly like an electrical jolt of something. And it's the planet that says if you trust, and use the word trust in capital T, you will always have money flow to you. It's when you let fear or let sense of potential failure or let sense of, well, if something's meant to go wrong, it's going to go wrong, be in your mind, then it can just work the opposite. It can stop your flow of money. Uranus says pure, unadulterated energy trust and truly understand that there is a directive flow of unlimited abundance when it sits in the second house, and it's in a water sign too, the mystical water sign of Cancer. Now, this eclipse on Neptune is occurring in your house of children, pets, and anything that you shower your love over that needs you for survival. So this could be some person that you care for or watch over. This can be plants that you have to water and feed, such as plants on a patio or in your house, animals that require our love and attention, and children that needed us when they were young and totally dependent on us for their survival. This is a house of love given forth, flowing to those that need us. And so what does this mean? It means that this eclipse can activate strong energies and abiding energies where children, animals, and gardens and plants are concerned, but it also means this eclipse on income tax day can activate your power to send universal love and energy to your fellow human beings from your heart, from your soul, who are in other countries, who don't know you, who are in other parts of the world, who are in other cultures. You've got great power being activated more than at other times in your life within the next 6 months to do visualizations and meditic and powerful dreams in which you will be a conduit of sending love through you to others for their upliftment, for their healing. And then for the earth itself, for the living things on the earth's surface, and then for the seas and the living things in the seas themselves. You've got great power to work in the next 6 months with vibrationary, uplifting, healing-directed energy. You can do it through meditations when you're still awake. Sorry, my birds are a little noisy. Or you can also do it with your sleep.
I love your birds.
Well, what's happening is Neptune, well, they're hearing me talk. That's why they wanted to talk back. Well, with Neptune there, you can always do vibrationary healing love. I don't mean the eclipse is going to be the only time you will do it, but it's going to heighten the results of what you will get. Now,
nice.
What can it mean for children? Well, Neptune could indicate children having to make a decision because of the two fish side of Pisces, one going one way, one going the other way, and some big decisions might have to be faced in the next 6 months where any child or children are concerned. It, even though they may not be at home, number two, it may mean that there could be, and you're probably not wanting to hear this, but many times an eclipse on a planet in the house number five, which this is, a person will acquire a new pet or have new animals come into their life or just have a pet come in or an animal finds them and doesn't want to leave them and stays at their door all the time every time they open it. Some of these things will happen when eclipses trigger energies in that house. Now, Maggie, you also have Saturn in Scorpio, and that has not been a sweet transit for you for a while here. I won't even give you the exact date, but it was in October of 2012 that Saturn entered Scorpio for the first time in about 27 years. And because you were born with Saturn in Scorpio, you begin to acutely feel its presence in that sign. Your Saturn is at 9 degrees of Scorpio and 7 minutes. And as far as I can see here, Saturn was on itself in your birth chart right around Christmas of 2012, December 26th. That was right after the time of the so reflected end of the Mayan calendar. Within days of that, which was December 21st, December 26th, you had what is called a Saturn return. Now, you also had one at another time in your life. That first return was probably more difficult than this one, but this one is not necessarily always wonderful and sweet and easy. And the very fact that Saturn is still in Scorpio, and you've got it in Scorpio, still means that there's disciplines and responsibilities and slowing down answers coming and slowing down results from things, and there can be times of a certain amount of developmental tension in the life, but it's not going to be there forever. You can already see the end of Saturn's presence in Scorpio, and your Saturn's at an early degree of Scorpio, so it's not going to be at that degree again for, like I said, 27 more years. But it's still in that sign. And on Christmas Eve of 2014, it will enter Sagittarius. And it will clear out of Scorpio except for a couple of very short weeks and maybe a month or so in 2015. But it's kind of a beached whale then. It's not going to do any energy change like it's been since October. So since October of 2012, your chart has been under some type of challenge or some type of pressure or some type of change. Neptune right now in the sky is in Pisces, and it's sitting on your Mercury. And that also can kind of add into part of this Saturn on Saturn business. Neptune is psychic, and it should be considered the most wonderful thing to have it going through Pisces because it rules that sign. But it also has a certain amount of confusion to it when it transits over a planet. It removes the planet from reality. So you've been thinking much more abstractly, and you've been having more restlessness where the mind and mental imagery is concerned due to Neptune's presence on Mercury. This is not necessarily bad. You'll get more clarity and focus from this eclipse that's on your Neptune because eclipses are powerful and they activate change for the good for planets that are happening there. This is also very close to the star Spica, which is at 23 degree Libra. And Spica has always been considered from ancient times onward as one of the sweetest stars in the heavens. It's the star often of fame, honor, success, fortune, creativity. And so is
I must have that.
At that degree. And all of this is being connected to this eclipse. Now, you've got Mars in Sagittarius, which means that when you get angry or get upset and you don't get through it quickly or you hold on to it and your emotions cling to it, it can affect your lower back, your legs, your hips, your thighs, and walking, standing, because Mars is the planet that deals with how we handle anger or anger issues, and it's in your house of health. And that's normally very good because Mars in the sixth house gives power, energy, to rise through and to take like an army and attack any disease or illness and burn it off. But it's also how and to what extent we deal with anger, Mars, in everybody's charts. So in Sagittarius, if too much anger, too much upset going on, it can, for a very temporary time, affect the back, low back, hips, thighs, and pelvic region. But once the anger is resolved, once it's cleared out, once you don't accept it anymore, once you don't allow it to cling to you, you'll see a remarkable change with that very quickly. Do you have any questions? I've been just going on. Do you have anything you want to ask, comment on?
I'm just so begoggled by everything you've said. You've
Maggie?
Gazillions of times.
Yes. Maggie, are you psychic?
What?
Are you psychic?
Yes.
Of course.
Oh,
I mean, you
I
know,
would say psychic
I,
with a capital P.
Yeah, I just love this when I have to listen to all my listeners and chatters, and they are super psychic, intuitive, or medium. So I love this, Maggie, because you are just, you rock. I mean, that's what, you know, I've got to tell you something. I'll take that star that you, that Ron, you know that star you said was really
yeah,
the sweetest star?
Yeah, 23 degrees Libra.
I want that star. Can you switch it over to my chart?
I don't know if it's hitting anything in your chart. It's Arcturus and Spica, and Spica is a very bright and big star, actually, from our viewpoint. It's at 23 Libra, and it was the Arabic people during the European medieval times that did so much research with stars in the zodiacal planetary patterns, and many of the names come from the Arabic. Spica is, I don't know what exactly translated what it means, but it's always been called the sweetest star in the heavens.
Well, I love that. I mean, Maggie, you've got to know that this is like an incredible reading. I know you'll download it because you can either get it on my web, you know, on my Facebook. If you are my friend, because it's always put on my, the shows are always.
Oh, I don't do Facebook.
Well,
I used to be on Facebook, but I got, essentially I got vetted by the Department of Defense talking about UFOs that I've seen. And so I got off of Facebook.
Well,
that's
another
thing. Maggie, you will see things that others don't see. You will see things because of your sensitivity to seeing things on different frequency levels of existence. You could actually be seeing a UFO, and someone could be standing next to you whose consciousness is thick as a brick, and I'm not making fun out of them, and they won't see it, and you will see it. And you're not
right.
crazy.
It
You'll
explains
see something
my
and pick up on something, and they
too.
Won't see it. You'll walk into the room and say, oh, do you feel that? And they'll say, what are you talking about? I don't feel anything. Well, you're not crazy. You're really picking up on the energy. You're really feeling these things, but not everyone is that qualified.
Yeah, I'm like a sponge.
I love this, Maggie. I think this is fabulous. I mean, I get to, you know what's so cool, Ron and Maggie, because, you know, you're on the phone here, and I know you would think this was cool, too. When I do a show and when my shows come on, I see people in chat. I don't always get to talk to them. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in spirit world, I don't remember anything. I don't remember your reading. I don't remember, you know, and I'm not remembering phone numbers. But when
right.
I hear this, because it's not me, it is so cool to know who's in my chat room and who's listening. And it just gives me such a good insight. And I'm so happy, you know, that I get to do that and I get to listen. So I just—it's just so cool. I mean, Ron, have you read? We haven't had one person that we've read for that isn't either psychic, intuitive, mediumistic. It is just the coolest thing.
Well, that's why
thing.
They're very drawn to listen to this show, because this show is a forte that they understand, and they can't go out to everybody in the world and talk about this stuff, because other people will often say, "Oh, that's all nonsense. These people are all frauds. They've got a good gimmick going." Or, oh, I never
exactly.
felt anything psychic. This is all, oh, I don't know about all that stuff. And
exactly.
yet there's a whole vibrationary, powerful number of people, many millions and millions of people in the world that do sense, do see, do feel. And it's a show like this or your show's Bonnie Plural that will attract these people because they're not crazy. They understand that this is all real and this is all a bona fide part of the human condition. And it's good to be that way. You're not lowering yourself when you're psychic. You're not demeaning yourself. You're actually working with capacities that are within you that not everybody is recognizing or working with.
But some people get creeped out when you're picking up on what they're thinking, and you just make a statement,
yes.
and they say, oh, my gosh, I was just thinking that. They get creeped out
by
it.
They can, but actually they should be a psychic back. It's just that they're... not making fun out of them or knocking them down, it's that their development or consciousness has either a lot of
right.
layering over their intuitiveness and they're not getting clear through to it. But yet, if you talk to people, they will almost always tell you they had some strange dream and it happened, or they had suddenly a real strong feeling to do something. They had an emergency. They had to stand up at a restaurant, so I've got to go home, and something was happening there. And they'll often tell you these things that have happened to them. And but... at the same time, they'll say, but I don't believe in anything like this.
I know. That's my husband. So, I mean, you know, Ron, you know my husband. I mean, it is the funniest thing because here he's married to me, and yet he'll listen to everything. And then I'll say, well, but I don't believe in it. But, you know, he has to. It has to absorb somewhere because, you know, I eat, sleep, drink, be, talk, you know, spirit. That it's going to be by osmosis. Right, Ron?
Oh, that's certainly the best way to work with it. And many people have seen their partners convert over time, not always, but many, just because of that osmosis. One thing, Maggie, too, is this eclipse on your Neptune, April 15th, is going to be the first energy to take some of that Saturn transit pressure off of you, because that's been going on nonstop since October of 2012, nonstop.
Wow.
And for a long time, Saturn was very close to where it was in your birth chart. Now, this eclipse is an uplifting eclipse. And people think I'm too optimistic about eclipses, but when you are a Pisces, four planets in Pisces, a double sun and moon, and an eclipse occurs on your Neptune, that's the ruler of Pisces, that's a big event. And it is
yeah,
a positive
really.
One. I don't see things like this meaning a downturn or negativity. I usually see opening up of higher energies. Many times
yeah.
this signals a new guide coming to work with you. Many times this shows an evolution of your own consciousness happening while you are alive in this lifetime during this period, or the start of a change for the higher evolution awareness. See, all of this is often triggered because eclipses trigger new energies and new events.
Awesome. And the thing is on the 12th and 13th, I'm taking Reiki 1 and 2.
Oh, this is perfect. This is just the preamble to that eclipse.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
And I really want to learn channeling. And everything that you were talking about, I had been planning on it, but I'm really looking to the point where I can essentially have a conversation that I can, you know, believe in with off-planet beings.
Well, one thing I want to tell you, and you may never forget this, you are always a subconscious channeler. You can work and get into something, a flow of inspiration that just kind of channels into you, and then, wow, you get this idea and this connection, that connection, just kind of like, it's not really like electricity, but it's almost like an energy flow. And you can do that at all times where most people just don't do that. This is somewhat of a gift that's indigenous to Pisces. It is the ability to get a subconscious or let's reword that, a tap into a flow of energy, which is more like a subconscious channeling. Now, to go further into actually doing full channeling, that can also be a powerful part of your chart with all those Pisces energies.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say that, Maggie, and then I've got to switch over to Kelly, which I know is she's on, and I've had to mute her, and she hates that, and I hate that when people do it to me, but I could hear noise, background noise, Kelly. So, yeah, you know I wouldn't do that, you know, on purpose because you know I love you.
Yes,
but anyway,
going overboard, and I'm sorry about that, Kelly.
Oh, no, she's fine.
No,
Cal?
No problem. I love hearing Ron now. It's like I would happily give my time to let Ron keep going with Maggie. It's like, this is awesome. This is so interesting because it's all the stuff that Maggie, I've tried to get her to call in, you know, when we do some of my bit, and it's like, no, come on, you know, do some readings. She's like, she's given some insights, you know, a time or two, and she's really on when she does, and people call back and say, yeah, that was really cool. So I'm going, I know, she can do this.
I know. And you know, I've got to tell you, Maggie, and I got to tell you that how I feel, like Ron said, I believe you probably channel. I know another girl, and she was our mermaid. Now she's a heaventologist. I think that's what she changed into. But and that's Amy. She channels as she's talking, but she doesn't even realize she's channeling. So, you know, that could be too, Maggie, what you're doing. You probably have the ability to channel, and you just don't know that you're actually channeling.
What I need to do is fine-tune my ability to identify who I am communicating with.
You also need to have the confidence. What I'm feeling and hearing is that when you start stepping out and getting the confidence to step forward, you're going to hear a whole lot more. So that's probably what's going to open up for you, like Ron said, with some new gift or a new guide.
Nice.
Yeah.
So by this October, yeah. I could be a reader for you.
You know what?
You can have a lot of progress in the next 6 months.
Awesome. You have no idea how elated I am to hear this. This is the most fantastic, outstanding reading I have ever had.
Well, it's
hear
just
that,
a thumbnail
Ron?
Compared to the full chart, but it does give insight as to how valuable a chart is. And those of you listening who really want a reading, I should tell you to consider having it because it's so valuable for the insight it can give you because it's the roadmap of this incarnation. It's what you've come into this life with. And without knowing the full combinations of your chart patterns, you're actually walking through your life just moving through actions. You don't have the insight of the full guide pattern that you were born with.
Yeah, true.
And I can't recommend Ron more. You all are getting, you know, little mini readings, and this is not to promo Ron forever, but I go to Ron at least twice a year. Once I do an update, which is, you know, a progress chart, and I have already had my birth chart done a long time ago. But I will tell you for everybody out there, I know it's, you know, right now with the economy, it's not easy. But if you want to know exactly what's going on and why you're here with this incarnation, what you're working on, what you can apply all your skills to, this is the reading that you want. So you can find Ron on livingastro@aol.com. You can drop him a line. He'll tell you, you know, what he charges his fees, and you can make a set up a time for Ron. Anybody out there listening, I'm just so excited for you, Maggie. I can't even tell you. I'm excited for us. We'll have a new reader.
Yes, wait. You got
absolutely
a reader coming aboard.
Absolutely,
okay, well,
fascinating, because everything you had brought up in the chart has happened. Like, I actually do work with energy cleaning chemtrails and water and such, and I have been doing it for a couple of years. And that's, and also I have other experiences that are, like, really far out there, like zapping. Do you want me to tell this incident that happened to me?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, I do. One time I was, like, walking my dog Wolfgang during hunting season, and he's, like, really gun-shy, and there's a lot of, it sounds like Beirut in the 70s. And so I took him on a path around the state park, and in New York State you have to have your dog leashed, and it's like leashing your mother, you know? my dog is not a dog. And so I'm walking him off-leash, and I got nailed by this police, and he was literally writing me a ticket for walking my dog off-leash. And I was thinking, my sovereignty is being violated. That's the only thing I thought. My sovereignty is being violated. And then my heart chakra opened, and this energy shot out of my heart and hit the cop. I mean, it was so strong, I could almost see it with my eyes. And I was just like, I looked at the cop like, you know, did you feel that? And then he literally went from writing me a ticket to apologizing to me for almost ruining my day.
Oh, that's a nice story, Maggie. We love that.
And
I think,
Maggie,
that's what
that just shows
you
how energy does work. That's
it
very
does.
Important that everyone who heard that remembered that story, because that's important. That
and
event shows how energy can work.
We have more power than we know about. We actually do. You just stay in the present, and you just stand your ground, and you maintain your sovereignty, and the world and the universe will help you.
In love. That's what's the cool thing, because everything works in love, and that's what I love. And, Ron, you even said about Maggie how she has the ability to change, you know, to get into people's thoughts, and that's exactly what she did. So it was kind of really cool that she told that story.
Very, very, very.
Well, I'm losing everyone. You're getting more and more faint. I guess I better get off the line, so that means Kelly can have time. But thank you very much for giving me the chance for the reading.
Thank you, Ron.
No, I have a question. I have a question for Ron here quick before he bugs out. I missed the September 2015 date. It's like I was writing down all those as I was going, but it's like you got to September and it kind of fuzzed out a little bit. And it's like September something of 2015 is
the
supermoon
eclipse.
Oh,
all right, I can basically hear you. It was the September 28th, 2015.
There we go. Thank you. There we go. Okay, I missed the 28th.
At 10:40 p.m. over Israel.
Yeah, 10:48 p.m. Eastern. That's the supermoon total lunar eclipse. That one will be visible directly over the Middle East.
Right. Wow. That is going to be amazing. we'll see what happens then. Everybody keep your fingers crossed. We hope everything great happens for the world. So,
I'm not trying to predict negativity or give any predictions. Maybe something could happen 2 years beyond this, triggered by these eclipses. But we should keep our eyes open just to see
what
energies of the world and the Middle East will be showing in the next year and a half plus.
I think that's too cool. And, you know, Ron, I'll be with you, so you'll be with us, so we'll be able to do this together.
I can hardly hear you, Bonnie. I'm sorry, you're gotten more and more faint.
Oh, does anybody not hear me? Can you hear me, Kelly?
Yeah, you'll see, I'm hearing everybody really super clear. I'm like going, wow.
Yeah, I'm
here.
Almost
like,
beyond
I'm hearing y'all.
So I guess I need to just say goodbye to everyone now, because I've kind of lost hearing everyone.
Okay. See you,
Ron. Love you, Ron. Bye-bye, Ron.
Oh, thank you. I heard you say love you. I had to put my ear right on the speaker.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye, Ron. We love you. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, Kelly and Maggie, this is just a heck of a reading, and I am so excited for you.
Incredible.
Yeah, Maggie, this rocked the house for you, and I know it did.
Oh,
and
my
gosh.
It's like, here is your ticket to your future. You know, everything that I wanted to do is, seems like it's coming to pass, and it's like I feel like I'm at the starting gate, you know? I'm chomping at
it.
Yeah,
that's what I told you. Like, you only thought you were going to retire. It's like, and I said, that's why I said, it's like, you know, retire, that means you're going to get new tires in your car and go. You got to get that shrink license, girl. Come on.
Well, I'm so happy. Please stay in our chat room because we love you, and you certainly can help in chat when people have questions, because I encourage everybody to do that. I really can't. Yeah. I want everybody to hear this, and I've got a caller that's been waiting for Kelly for a very long time. But I've got to tell you that I ask people in chat to talk, to ask questions, because most of the people in my chat room are psychic, mediumistic, have gifts, or you know, and so I ask them because they sometimes can't get on the air and sometimes they don't want to. So anybody that can help anybody, if you get in the chat, just say, hey, has anybody got any questions? And start trying to do it that way, because everybody will be there supporting you, and it'll be a great, you know, thing for you
That's
to kick
great
around.
Great idea. Thank
yeah.
you, Bernie. That's an awesome
You're
idea.
Welcome.
All
You're welcome,
righty.
Maggie.
Well, thank you.
We'll see you in chat.
Okay. Bye. Thanks
Have
again.
Have a great day. You're very welcome.
I already am.
It's a pleasure. We love you, Maggie. We always will. I see organic skies in there, and I love it. So, girlfriend, you rock the house.
Right back at you. Love you guys.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome.
I mean, was that cool? You know what?
Very. I mean, this is so neat. I mean, because this is what I've been telling her this for a while. But see, it's just me. And it's like, now what's really funny is I'm a five of spades as an Aquarius. Maggie's a five of spades as Pisces. So it's like, yeah. And what's even funnier is I met her, oh man, quite some time ago on a different show, and I had actively been praying. I was going, you know, God, I would just like, you know, somebody like a friend who's, you know, like me, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and here she comes on, you know, it was just like, wow. And I was doing a broadcast and going, you're a five of spades, just like me. Cool. And it is. It's just like, I mean, so she feels like soul sister to me. She really does.
Well, you know what? Then she had a great reading today. Kel, I'm putting your next girl on
awesome.
Because this, she had an awesome reading, and you're awesome. And listen, I've got to apologize. When I hear noise, I got to put it on mute.
No, no problem.
The three of us
no problem,
on. So don't ever think I'm muting you for that reason, sweetheart.
No,
I wish I could
no.
mute myself. But
hey,
I
man,
do
you don't
want to
no ego. Bonnie, no ego here. It's like, I don't mind. It's like it doesn't bother me in the least. It's like I know there's, you know, there's fuzzes, there's glitches. It's like, you know, you don't have to worry
yeah.
about meeting me. It's like, I understand this.
Well,
I do. No problem.
I know I did that to Susan once. She'll hear this and yell at me. She was so mad I muted her, but I muted her
oh,
because
no.
it was noise in the background. And then I had to explain it. So if I ever mute
oh, no.
you, it is not because I want you to
it's
not listen or hear it talk. If you get too much energy, sometimes I could hear background noise, and as soon as I muted you, I didn't hear it. So I am going to bring
right.
my next girl. I love you, Kel. 256, you've been waiting a long time. 256, hi, this is Bonnie and Kelly. How are you today?
Good. How are you? This is Kimberly.
Hi,
Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so happy that you waited. I am going to step out for a minute, Kelly, so you are going to
no
take
problem.
Kimberly. So just give
I
me guess a
yeah,
second.
I guess that you might want to stick around because quite possibly, she, you know, you know how this goes, you know, you might have something
yeah.
for her. It's like, and if you need to break in, you go ahead and break in because I can pick up the threads of where I'm at. It's like it's kind of like in knitting what I do. It's like, you know, I go, oh, drop the stitch, pick it back up, and just go on. So it doesn't bug me as much when I'm doing that. So I'm really okay.
Well, I gotta tell, okay. I gotta tell you where I gotta go, Cal. Gotta TT, so
okay.
I'll be back soon. I'll be right back.
Want to close the break? No problem. This is where we play music now. Okay, Kimberly, what I need is I need your month and your date, and then if we're asking a question about, you know, current year stuff, it's like your current age.
Yes, my month is November. The day is 5, and I am 43 years old.
And 43. Okay, all righty. So that November 5th. Okay, so you are a two of diamonds. And let's see, you have two planetary ruling cards, which is in Western astrology is kind of like the ascendant cards. So you have they kind of doubled up on you. You have a six of diamonds and you have an ace of hearts.
for both of those. So, okay, and did you have a question in particular, or do you just kind of want a general reading, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, well, my question is about romance.
Okay.
I guess meeting someone new.
Okay, meeting somebody new. Okay. Well, let's look here. And that makes a lot of sense because as the Two of Diamonds, the two people always have the desire to, you know, be in partnership of some sort with someone. Now, what's really interesting, though, is your birth card in and of itself is the Two of Diamonds is called the Wheeler Dealer card. And you do have an intuition. You're back already.
I'm back.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Kimberly is the Two of Diamonds. And it's like, Bonnie, mm-hmm. he's right next to you because you're that Ace of Diamonds. Anyway. But
hi, Kimberly.
Hi.
That if she's, you know, if she follows that intuition, is always going to lead her to success and show her the right path to follow. And it's like inherent in that intuition, you've always got a high set of values. Often you feel like you have a mission in life, which involves partners and other people. There's a certain amount of ambition, usually for money, and it kind of keeps you motivated. And it's, you know, ambition is good because sometimes, you know, you guys can get into ruts, especially with close relationships. So if you're looking at, Bonnie, this is going to be your area she's kind of asking about, but she's wondering about when she's going to have somebody coming in. And what I will say, just right off the bat here, is because you're 43 and coming up on, let's see, okay, I'm looking at that again. Okay, just turned that. The next couple of years, I'm going to say, are going to be really key for you simply because the 44th year is called your pre-birth year and the 45th is called your rebirth year. And you're going to go and, you know, undergo a lot of, I'll say, massive changes. You know, it's a transformative time of your life. It's when, you know, the outer world, the mundane world calls it that midlife crisis type of thing. So if you, the only cautionary thing I'm going to say about, you know, getting into relationship now, because it's not that, you know, not somebody's coming, because it's, I'm just going to look here really quick, because you do have a lot of interest. Yeah, see, this is really, wow, a lot of fact finding here. You've got three sixes. You've got a six of clubs in Mercury. You've got a six of hearts. And a Two of Clubs in Venus, your Venus time frame, and you've got a long range of also the Six of Clubs. Anytime those sixes show up like that, it's a year where you're kind of starting to find out, you know, who am I, what am I, what am I doing, you know, life purpose, that kind of stuff. So it's like it's really you're going to be going some different directions. And the trouble with getting a partner in at this time, it might be somebody, you know, you're either dating or whatever, but you're going to be going through so many transitions. By the time you get through, you are not going to be the same person that you are right now. The next 2 years is going to bring a tremendous amount of changes for you. And it's like if you get involved with somebody now in a more permanent way, you know, you may find yourself going, wow, this person, you know, when I first met him, they fit me like an old shoe comfortable, and now I've grown, and it's like they're a little bit tiny for my foot, and it's like it's not comfy anymore. So that's the only cautionary I'm going to say about, you know, really getting involved with somebody in these next couple years. And like I say, it doesn't mean there's not people coming because, you know, your 44th year, you've got a King of Hearts as your long range. So it's like, you know, that's a loving father card. But it's more about mastering your own emotions. And then come your 45th year, you've got a King of Diamonds, which is a business person's card. So it's like all these transitions may very well find you, you know, being an entrepreneur, you know, being into your own business, you know, doing things like that, because you've got a lot of the diamond cards. I mean, literally, in your 44th year, you've got a Three of Diamonds, Four of Diamonds, Five, Six, Eight, and Nine, you know, just kind of like right down the line, all in diamonds. So it's like you're going to have a lot of financial things going on in your 44th year. In your 45th year, that's kind of where, you know, just doing an advanced look, it's like you've got an Ace of Hearts, which is like that's your Pluto card for that year, where you're kind of looking at, you know, kind of want this new love type of thing. I'm really going to say if you're looking for, you know, a long-haul love relationship, that probably that's going to come around the 46th year because you've got the Queen of Hearts as a marriage card that year. And it's like, and you've also got some other indicators, you know, with some of the other cards that might be, you know, be the time when you, you know, either get married or, you know, whatever. But it's like, I mean, it's not that you can't, you know, find that person and date them, but I would say don't do anything long-term until they see all the transitions that you go through and you see how they respond to all the transitions you go through and make sure that they're going to grow with you and not apart from you, okay? Bonnie, since this is love, it's like...
Ah, yes. Well, what's funny is...
What do you see for her?
It's really funny because, you know, I didn't want to say anything, and I was glad that you had the cards because I just wrote some things down while you were talking, actually before you were talking when I said I had a TT and then I came back. I don't see any, I didn't want to say anything because I know that you think that at 43, you know, oh, my goodness, if I wait another 6 months, I'm just going to, you know, kill myself or not really. But, you know, you just really want to find somebody. And the thing is, what I heard was 46, but at your 45th year, you will meet that person. And so you might date and be, you know, go out a year, and then you'll get married in your 46th year is what I'm hearing. And I can tell you that this is what they say to me. And it doesn't mean you're not going to date because I see you dating. And the reason is
absolutely.
You have to learn some things. Yeah, you have to learn some things, sweetheart, about yourself. And dating is what will do that. And I encourage everybody to do it. I would have 10 dates a day if I could because as long as you don't have to do anything, it's all fun. Now I'm married for 34 years and I'm only 15. I brought him down with me when I came. But this is what they told me in spirit. They told me you're very insightful, meaning that you know things. You feel things and you know when something's right, honey. And they also said you're very stubborn, you're great-natured, you're very leery of guys from things that have happened to you in the past. You think you're all that, which is a good thing. It's not all that bad, because, honey, I think I'm all that. And that's what you need to go forward to actually really meet the right person. Because if you don't love yourself first, what you end up with is a guy that can't love you. So I can tell you, you're setting up the basis for a great, 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 long-lasting lifetime with a guy because you already have those things in place. And it says, and they also told me, you're not going to take a back seat. You're going to be up front or side by side. And then I wrote 45, which means at 45 you'll meet him, and at 46 you'll probably marry him. But in the meantime, I've got to tell you, and I think you probably do have some friends or people that you you might want to see. I kind of feel that. But I am a big one about dating. I think dating brings in people that teach you what you do and you don't want in life and what you will and won't put up with. And I do see you dating, and I do see some guys coming in before then, but they're going to be short-term, which is okay for you because you've got a lot of other things to take care of. So does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So
she's like, it wasn't what I was hoping to hear, but it's like, okay, I'll get through this. On the positive side, what I can say, your Jupiter's time of year starts on April 11th. So it's like, I'm thinking that's like just in a couple days, like, you know, you're just ending up, you know, you're finishing up to this Mars time, which has been the card of the Wanderer and the Four of Clubs, which is, you know, stability and mental communications. But so you're coming into this Jupiter time where you've got a King of Hearts, and you've also got a Nine of Diamonds. So you're going to have some doors closing with some things, but you're going to have doors opening, and opening in a really nice, big way in Jupiter.
Yeah, well, you only have another 2 years, really. And, I mean, dating people,
you
might date somebody for 8 months and then realize that it's not what you want. So I'm not going to say you're not going to have anybody coming into your life because I do see people coming into your life.
I
feel like you might even have somebody that you think. But the thing is that what you're going to learn is lessons. Lessons learned are better when you're not attached in a marriage than when you have to learn them in the marriage and then have to dissolve it. So I see some really happy things coming for you, sweetheart, really happy. But I think that there are things you got to learn about relationships. And this is why you're going to wait for your Prince Charming. And you know what? He's going to be worth it. Because I know or feel you, and you will not take second best. I can feel it. So that's the cool thing about you. And, you know, there are some people that will take anybody. They'll say, okay, if they come around, well, you know, I might not meet anybody else, or I might not, you know, be able to do this, or, well, what if nobody else comes? But that's not you, honey.
I'm seeing her
and
like, guys, honey, it's like she's going to have options here.
Yeah, she's going to have options. And you just keep your eyes open and don't be so crazy, you know, like settling down crazy that you miss the opportunity to, one, learn, to grow, to date, and then to find that true love. Because what they're showing me is white flowers. They're throwing white flowers at a wedding cake, and you are really, really happy. So when I see that sign, it means that you've waited and that your prince is coming and that it'll be the right prince.
Yeah. But it was like you said, you said it's 2 years, but I've been, I guess, hoping that, you know, I could get pregnant one more time before, you know, because I have a son, he's 16, and I thought I would have another child, but.
I'll tell you what, it's still possible. I had my last two. I had one a month before I turned 41, and my youngest one is 12, and I had him when I was 43. So, yeah, and there was one of my Reiki teacher had her twins when she was 50. So, as long as you're still viable, there, dear, it's like you know that is entirely possible to stay healthy.
Yeah, and I would really you know I don't suggest anybody doing anything. It's up to you. I don't think one way or the other, but you're going to be having some fun, and I suggest you just go with the flow. And if, you know, you're meant to have another kid or, you know, I really believe in divine intervention, so I believe that we all came down here writing our script. If you have written another kid in or however many, they'll be coming, and if you didn't, it's cool. I see a very happy life for you.
Okay.
Okay. So so you'll know. And what they're telling me, honey, is that you're very, and I don't mean it, you know, I call myself sweetheart and honey, but, if you have insight, and that means to me that you know from your gut-wrench feeling what you're doing and who you're doing it with. So just open to that gut feeling because you'll know when he walks in. You'll know when they're not right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you got a great life coming. You just want it now, and I do too. I'm waiting for something to come, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And you know, I'm just thinking, oh gosh, they tell me maybe another 6 months, and I think, oh, I'm never going to make it in the 6 months. But you know what? Time goes fast. You are going to have relationships before then, and you are going to be happy. I see you. I see you in your wedding dress. So I know you're not meant to be alone, and I see you really, really, really smiling. Is being thrown at the cake. So it's not thrown at me, it's not thrown at you, it's thrown at the wedding cake, which means that that's your life. And you're going to have a good time. You're going to be happy. You waited.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cal, did you have anything else you were going to tell us?
No, that's, I mean, it's like in terms of long-term stuff, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that she's going to go through, I'll just put it that way. You know, you're going to have some things happening with communications. You're going to have things, opportunities happening for also education. You know, whether it's like actually going back to a physical school or whether it's just you know, like weekend seminars, things like that. There's a lot of things, a lot of opportunities for you to learn and grow. Okay. There's that thing with the finances next year, you know, going on. It's like, you know, you've got really an opportunity to be an entrepreneur, you know, pick something that you really want to do. Go into business for yourself. You know, it's like you would do, I think, really, really well at it. Yeah, you know, and then it might be something where, you know, when the person comes in, it's like they may join you. You know, they may join you as a partner in whatever it is you're doing. So, yeah, that's kind of the overview. That's a three-year overview.
Can I ask what you do? Can I ask what you do?
Yes. I have been teaching biology in the public school system for about 10 years. But when she said something about school, right now, presently, I'm applying to physician assistant school because I always wanted to be a doctor, and I put it off because of fear.
I'm a nurse. And my niece is in school because she couldn't get – and let me tell you something, and I'm glad you told me this. Because my niece has been waiting to get into physician assistant school, and she isn't. You have a lot more experience to get in than she does, but she couldn't get in for a few years, and she, you know, because it's such a packed field, she went the nursing route, and I am a nurse, and she's going to do her. So a physician's assistant, it's going to take you a lot less time as far as being a physician's assistant. A nurse, if you've already got your degree, you can go a 2-year nursing program because you already have your degree and you can bridge that gap online once you get it. I am telling you, if you want both, if you don't get in, and I hope you do, because I think you're going to be really good at it. You care, and I can see you'll be meticulous at what you do.
that you really ought to think about applying to either a community. I don't know if they have a, because it's really inexpensive, community college or any university that you have around there for a nursing program. They even have private ones. You could probably do, because you have your degree, you don't need to get your bachelor's degree to go work. So you want to get your two-year nursing degree, RN, and then you can bridge the gap online for the year. So, and they make a four, I mean, you know, right now you could work, shift work in nursing and you can do anything you want. I love physician assistants that don't want to talk you out of it, but to give you another route that it'll take you the exact same time, 2 years. And then you can, if you really, really love that, being a nurse, you can go on to do your CNA and you can do that online. And then you can be patient on your own because now they just passed a law saying that a nursing, you can get your PhD in nursing, you can see patients on your own. It used to be you had to work in a doctor's office. They just passed that in Florida. So, you know, look into it because there's some options there for you.
Okay.
Okay, and I wish you a whole lot of luck. I love health and light workers, and that's maybe why you're going to hold off the 2 years because maybe you'll be in physician assistant school, which would put you 2 years in that school. And then maybe you'll never going to meet somebody there. That's maybe why you're going to find your husband in 2 years. Did you ever think of that?
No, I didn't. It makes sense now, though. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So don't bog yourself down. If you want an education and you want to go into the health field, it's a two-year proposition for physician's assistant school or nursing school, and that's where you're going to maybe pick up your husband. Or your boyfriend. All right, no, I don't want to say husband, but you know, what, your significant other. So that's maybe why we're seeing 2 to 3 years. So, and that would be great for you. So I hope you had a, I hope we helped you out today.
Yes, you did.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome. Let us know how you do.
Okay,
yeah,
I will.
Absolutely.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, I just love her. She's just so sweet, and I love, you know me, healthcare. counseling, romance, relationships, sexual issues, love, that's all me, Cal. Here we go.
That's
we have
I know,
9. I know, 978. You are on with Bonnie and Kelly. Hi.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi Kelly. This is Kathleen.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, you need
How are you?
Okay. Do you need my date of birth and time of birth, or just the date?
Not the time. That's just the date and your current age. Just the month and date and your current age.
8/4/57, and I'm 56 right now.
Okay.
And I'm and I'm 15, but I know that age. I'm 15. I know that age.
Well, I have a question. I've been divorced since '97, which is a long time, and. I started seeing someone 6 months ago, and I want to know if you see it going anywhere, or do you ever see me getting remarried in this lifetime?
You know, I don't see...
Wow, this lifetime is a long way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, it's almost over.
No. Can I ask what his age is?
He's 49.
Yeah, he was, I was going to say he was younger than you. You know, if this is the guy, and I can see him, he seems like a nice guy. I don't feel any, like, tingles, like, oh, he's not really nice. But I think he's going to drag his feet. So, and it isn't because I don't think he likes you or that he won't fall in love with you or that he's in love with you. I just think he's in a time zone of he can take his time. So if you like him.
Right.
And if this is something you really want to pursue, it's going to be a while, and that's what I'm feeling.
Right.
But I'm not saying that it won't be him. So it depends on you. I feel like you're. I'm picking up vibes that possibly you're not. You know, you want to get married, but you're really not wanting to get married real soon. I don't pick that up at all.
Mm.
Is that true?
I didn't think so, but
okay.
I just don't see.
Go ahead. And here's what I'm getting here. It's like what we've got. I'm going to do the same thing. I just scanned ahead, you know, for the next 3-4 years here. What we got going.
Okay.
For this year, you've got a Jack of Hearts as your long range. And it's like, that's the Christ card. It's like, you know, sacrifice, you know, sacrificing yourself for, you know, someone younger, things like that. It can also be younger energies or younger man, you know, coming in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, you're dealing, yeah, you're kind of dealing with that. You've got some cards here with, okay, so because you yourself, you're a Nine of Diamonds twice, okay? It's like you're like double nine. So it's like the Nine of People, you know, part of your life path is like you have come here to tie up loose ends. And it's like every year, you know, feels like a kind of like high school graduation every year. It's like, you know, a door closes and a door opens, you know. So it's like you just feel like you're here writing chapters of your book and you know, finishing and completing things out. For this year, you know, for the rest of this year, because you've got what's called the lesser marriage card. You've got like the Four of Hearts, you know, in Venus, meaning, you know, you're wanting more stability. You've also got a Two of Hearts, but you've got an Ace of Hearts. The Two of Hearts comes in the Jupiter time frame. The Ace of Hearts comes in the Saturn time frame. So it might be, you know, you might actually be looking for a new love, you know, something like that. But that's, you know, that's kind of the overview just for, you know, for love for this year. What I do see is in your 57th year, you've got long range, you've got a Five of Hearts. And that is kind of, it's, you know, what they call the traditional divorce card, but it usually means a separation of some sort in relationships. So it's like there's going to be in the 57th year, you're going to have some things, you know, kind of like separating. Okay, so it's like, yeah. You know, you might not be with the same person, whatever. And ironically enough, here's that Jack of Hearts, and that's in the Mars time. So I'm like, okay. Then you go to 58. In your 58th year, you've got a long range of an Ace of Hearts. So this is about bringing new love in. And with that particular one, and it shows in your 58th year, you've got a Three of Hearts in your Venus time, which means you should, you know, you could be dating, like, you know, two or three guys at the same time. Towards the end of that time frame on the 58th year, you've got in the Uranian time frame, you've got a Queen of Hearts, which is one of the marriage cards. So it could be either an unusual marriage or an unusual something, you know, happening there. But then we go all the way to 59, you've got the Two of Hearts, which is the Lover's card, you know, so the union of two hearts. And with that, you've got more, I'll say, stronger indications. You start out the year with, you've got a King of Hearts, which is, you know, mastering yourself and, you know, love and relationships, or it could be that person coming in. But you've also got a Four of Hearts and a Queen of Hearts at the very end time, you know, right, it's like right before the 104 days before you turn 60. So you've got you got the Uranian card, okay, in the Uranian time frame, you've got that Four of Hearts, which is a lesser marriage card. And then in Neptune, you've got the Queen of Hearts, which is the marriage card. So, you know, I'm just saying, it's like, I'm kind of like, you know, it may not happen this year. It's
right.
Like, it seems to be there's things, you know, coming forward. So it's like you're not, you know, again, it's like you're not going to be alone, because there's, you know, there's indications along in here that you're going to be dating different people and finding different people. But you might not actually get married until your 59th year. You know what? And I'm sorry, you know, people live to be 100 years anymore. So it's like, you know, so if you got married when you're 59, you know, 100 is, you know, you would have like 41 years together. So
Do you know what, Kelly? This is how I feel. And I saw that whole thing. I know that,
right.
You know,
I
what
you
saw
did.
Is that, yeah, I felt that you weren't going to, you know, this thing, you could, I feel like he's a nice guy, but he's just dragging his feet. You won't, you know, and he'll drag it out till you're done with him. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But because I don't see, like I said, I don't feel from you the, I gotta get married. I really think if you think about it, you really aren't. You really want it to be right. And the thing is that what I see also is, and I feel like, if you can get married, I have somebody who gets married at 83. I know this woman is a client's mother. She's getting married at 83, and she found her true love after 70 years of being married to somebody else. Yes, or 65 years of being married to someone else. He died, and now she's back with her high school boyfriend. I can tell you, even if it's a year or two that they have together, it is going to be the happiest time that they've ever had. And so when you look at 60, and even if you spend 20 years with the next guy, as long as you're happy and as long as it's the right one, even spending 1 year, whether you're 20 or whether you're 60, is worth it. Because I know people who live in misery with somebody for a long time, and they would just wish for 1 year of happiness. So don't push it. You are going to be not by yourself. And I don't see you by yourself even, you know, in the next few years. You're just not going to – it's not going to be the warm and fuzzy that you want. But
it's not going to be the one I'm with.
Right. But I do see that if you want him, and this is why I said this, he's not your marrying guy.
But he could, yeah, but if you, it, you know, to me, I think people should date until they're ready to get married. I don't think people should make commitments at this stage unless they know that this is the guy for them or the girl for them, and then they work at making it work to see if it does or it doesn't. And when it doesn't, they separate, or when it does, they stay together. But I'm really a big believer in a certain age of dating. And as long as you can do that, as long as if he's made no commitment to you and you've made no commitment to him, then I don't know why that you don't have to give him up, because you can look around still. You know, I don't want you to feel you have to break up. The reason I'm saying this is I feel like I don't want to tell you that this is not the guy you're going to marry, and then you go home and you say, hey, I'm just not going to put anything into it. Because that's not the lessons that you need to learn. I believe that everybody comes in your life for a reason. They stay as long as they're supposed to, and then you or him will move on. So if you're dating someone, and if you feel compassionate towards that person, then there is no reason to break up with them or not go with them, because he's in your life for a reason. He's in your life to make you probably later on down the line say, he's dragging his feet, this can't be love, and I'm moving on. But you'll be ready at that time. You see what you see? So when you call a show like ours, we're going to say what we see in the future, but there's lessons that you have to learn before you see the future. You know what I can? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I understand that.
Okay. So, yeah. And you know, I say the same thing. I say, why isn't something happening? And I think to myself, well, it should happen. I know it's going to happen, but I've got so many months or years ahead of it. And I think, well, what the heck? But really, what it is in between things come up. And now I understand life and a little bit better, even though I hate waiting. I realize that there's lessons and things to be done before you actually get to the point where you can say, oh, I've got what I want. In different, you know, modalities, like I married for so many years, but there's things I want in business or things I wanted with my kids. You know, but there are people who want like what you want. So the thing what I'm saying is everybody's time, it's really divine. I hate the word divine timing, because when people say that to me, I always say it's a cop out, but it isn't. It's really divine timing. You know, I say, oh, when am I going to get a contract? People go, it's a divine timing. Really? Divine timing? Well, when's divine timing? But really, it is divine. And the thing is that, you know, you have to realize that there's going to be happiness at the end of this road. And in between that happiness, you are going to learn things. You're going to be part of things. You're not going to be lonely. But go with the flow. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to sit around now to my 60th year or my 59th year, and then I'll meet him. No, because you won't. There are lessons and things that I can hear them say to me for you that you need to learn and do. So please just keep, you know, keep having a great life. Know that there is somebody out there for you. But, again, there's lessons and time that you have to put in.
Okay. All right,
so,
lady.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Just got to sit and wait.
No,
you're not going to sit and wait. You're not going to collect dust on yourself. You're going to get out the door. You're going to get out and do things and be engaged in life. Are you kidding?
That's the whole reason I just told you this speech, which they made me tell you because they know what you're going to do. Because I would never go into this kind of speech unless they told me. This is from spirit. This isn't from me. Even though I do counseling and even though I am a therapist, this is them directing me to tell
you. Oh, well, I do know if he drags his feet and this continues for a long time, I would tell him to keep walking.
Right.
Drag him to someone else.
Right. Well, in the meantime, have fun. Do whatever your life is supposed to do, because I'm telling you, if you cut your life off, then what will happen is spirit will say, okay, she's just waiting and she hasn't learned the lesson she has to, so now we'll start at 60 again, and now you'll learn your lesson for another 2 years. So you don't want that. You just start living your life. Start looking around, though. Start, you know, seeing what you want and what you don't want. Make sure that this guy that you're seeing, if you're having fun, great. Just realize that, you know, if it turns into the, he might change. Could be that in 3 years this man's going to want you totally the way you want it. And it could be that, because people do change, and then we see that change in the card as a new person. I've witnessed that. So don't give up your life. Just realize that sometimes if it's going to fizzle out, it will. if it isn't, and if something changes and you end up saying, I don't want this, I'm real, and he comes back as a new person, then he's yours. So, you know, you just don't ever know.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you
so
both.
I hope that helped. I hope you like our speech.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Let us know what happens and call us anytime. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Kelly?
Oh, my goodness. We have 5 minutes,
we
guys.
Have
and
one
we have 201
yeah,
and we
have
770, and it's like I'm
we're
going
to have to get. I
yeah.
can't today, so I'm going to ask
it's
that. You know, Kelly, I think you're going to be on Friday unless you want to, and I'll leave the you know, I can leave the board on for you. But
sure. yeah,
I just want to tell you Thursdays is a tough day for me. Plus, you know, I'm
right.
You know, I do want to thank my girlfriend. Everybody knew that I had the shingles, and I went to the doctor. My husband's a doctor. He already diagnosed it. But I've been, you know, struggling with some issues because, you know, after you have the shingles, and I did really well. Thank you for all the healing. I now have the itches. So my girlfriend, and the itches is on my back, so don't get nervous. But my girlfriend just sent me beautiful roses. Her name is Susan Smith. She's a Delta flight attendant who is now on her way to London to see her mom because she's sick. So when she hears the archive, I do want to thank her. The roses are beautiful. And thank everybody for the healing that you've all sent me. I love that. Kel, I just want to tell everybody what's on for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Laura Pirret. She is going to do the language of light. It's the language of all of your – I've never heard anything like it, really. Have you, Kelly?
No, I haven't. It sounds like a conglomeration of several different ancient languages.
Lifetime.
It's really, really fascinating. We've
yeah.
had her on twice, and it's like I refer people to, you know, the shows. Let's see, what was it? She was on January 30th. She was also on March 13th, and I highly recommend people, you know, go and in the archives and listen to those shows. The 13th I remember particularly because she didn't just give a man a fish. She helped a young man to learn how to fish. It's like she didn't just heal him, just give him the healing and, you know, go on. She helped him actively participate in the healing, and it's like there's a lot of good – I'll say good information there for people who are, you know, working on healing issues, that kind of stuff. So listen to those because people have actually reported getting healings from listening to the archives. So
yeah.
whatever
yeah,
she does is
that.
Really awesome.
Yeah, she's an awesome lady. You can go to Laura Pirret, PIERATT.com, and you can see what she does. She's with us again. She's doing healings. Everybody get on the board, whether it's Kelly or me, who's going to take who's going to MC it. I don't know yet, but Friday is a great day, too. Friday we have, yay, we have our pet psychic back, Susan
Schaff.
Oh, Schaff.
Cool.
She's coming 1 to 2 on Friday. We are so excited by popular demand, so please call in with any dead pets, live pets, pets you're thinking about, your sister's pet, your brother's pet, any pet that you need to find out about, sickness, health, if they passed away, connecting. She is fab. So she will be here 1 to 2. And then 2 to 3, I have our mermaid, which now is a heaventologist, so I don't know what to call her when she comes on your staff.
Right.
It's either Amy the mermaid or Amy the heaventologist. She's just, I love the word heaventology, and I want to be a heaventologist too. So her and I can be heaventologists. But she does the mermaid card. She is a mermaid. She is just the sweetest girl. She does a great job. She channels. She's psychic, and she does her cards. And is Peg coming with her? Do you know, have you heard if Peg's coming?
I believe so. Peg said she was going to really work hard at trying to do that. It's like, you know, she indicated because we know she's moving and boxing. But
yeah.
She said, you know, I told her it was just going to be for an hour. So she said she would try really, really hard to see
okay.
if she could. Yeah,
we have
questions here in chat. One thing I do want to say is, like, for all our chatters and for people asking questions, yes, Bonnie's on. Same bat time, same bat station. It's 1 to 3 p.m. every, you know, not every day, Monday through Friday if we're doing, you know, all those shows. 1 to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, which amounts to, when you get to Pacific time, it's noon to 12. So it's like, you know, adjust for your time frame across the nation. And the number is always the same, 347-838-8864. So, yes, call us on, you know, Monday through Friday because we're here. We haven't opened Saturdays and Sundays yet, but we are here Monday through Friday.
We're, well, wait until we're open on Saturday, May
31st for my guy.
That's
Mark
right.
Anthony,
yeah.
Mike
Anthony.
Yeah.
Psychic
lawyer.
I know. Next week we have the psychic detective, and then we're going to psychic lawyer. I was going, wow.
Yeah. Well, no, next week I've got to tell you, we're doing him Tuesday, the 22nd. Unfortunately,
oh,
with his schedule, he couldn't come next Thursday. We'll have to talk about it.
Okay.
But also on the 26th and 27th, I am Las Vegas. And I'll tell you more about that. But anyway, I love you guys. Please join us tomorrow. Kelly, I love you. I'll keep you on until I can't, until you get kicked off. But I love you,
Kelly. Okay. 201-770. Stay in queue, and I will be here. So, okay, here we go. All right. Yeah, I think they probably lost sound. It's like it didn't kick everybody off this time. So maybe Blog Talk got some things fixed. That would be nice. Okay. Area code 201. There we go. Gotcha. And who am I talking to today?
Hi, it's Charisse. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. I was just listening to your show. It's very interesting to listen to.
If you didn't hear the first part of Ron's, it's like go back and catch it in archive. He was talking about all of the lunar eclipses, you know, like the blood moons, the super blood moons, the blah, blah, you know, it's like it's amazing. It's like because we've got one coming up on April 15th. The archives is like, yeah, go back and listen to the first part because the first 25 minutes he talks about all the moon, lunar eclipses, the next four that are coming up, which is, like, amazing. Anyway.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Okay, so what's your month and what's your date?
June 15th.
June 15th?
Yeah, 1-5.
Oh, 1-5. Okay, and how old are you this year?
I'm 33 now. I'll be 34.
Okay, 33 now. Okay, so, yeah, know that day well. Let's see, June 16th is my oldest son.
Oh, wow.
You're
so familiar
right
with Gemini.
Right there, yeah, you're both Gemini. Okay, now this is what I talk about. Oh, my goodness, the energy and how it works. Okay, you are a Two of Diamonds, and we had our first caller, Kimberly, was also a Two of Diamonds. But where she had two different planetary rulers, you have one, and yours is the Jack of Spades. Okay, was there anything in particular, or you just kind of want to...
Yeah, I'm trying to choose between two guys, and I didn't know if that was something you could figure out with that.
If it's a choice between two, what I will say is a lot of that is if you have either one of their birthdays, because, you know, we've got to prepare. Okay, cool. Okay, let's hear it.
December 4th. December 4th.
Okay, December 4th.
And the other one is January 18th.
And the other one is January 18th. Okay, so you have a Sagittarian, and I think that's probably a Capricorn. So let's see.
Yeah.
December 4th guy. Okay. Your December 4th guy is an Ace of Diamonds, which is you definitely would be the leader in that relationship, and it's like you would have, I can tell you right now, you guys would have some moon connections. He's an Ace of Diamonds, and he's also a Three of Spades. So let's see. And then the January 18th gentleman, aha, now he's a little bit further out. He's also a diamond, though. He is a Nine of Diamonds, and he's got the Four of Hearts. Okay, so let's take a look and see how that compares. Like I said, the fact that you're a two of diamonds, like I say, that, you know, you definitely would be the leader, you know, you would be the sun card in that relationship, you know, and he would be like the moon card playing the supporting role. So, yeah, you're the wheeler dealer. Just looking at this. Okay, with your Ace of Diamonds, showman. Now, that's really interesting. Okay, the first one there is
Mama.
He's a karma card to you. Those are not necessarily the easiest ones, but it's like it indicates, you know, you guys do have something that you're, you know, finishing up from times past. Your second connection, though, is that moon in the spiritual. So it's like, you know, definitely you've had, you know, close relationship, probably a very loving relationship, you know, in a past time and you're bringing that forward, you know, to complete that. He's also, the third connection, he's your cosmic reward card. So it's like, you know, there are a lot of good positive feelings with that. The fourth connection is a Pluto connection. Now, this one would bring, it's kind of like a Mars connection, I'll say up an octave. Pluto brings a lot of, where Mars brings anger and conflict, you know, things like that. And it's like, you know, if you have a Martian relationship, it's like, you know, they say, you know, take that anger for a walk. You know, take it out and keep it positively focused. It's really more important in a Pluto connection to do that, because Pluto is Mars, you know, like I said, to nth degree. It's like it's an octave up. So there's a lot would be some, you know, power and control struggles, you know, in different areas. Okay, there would be some, you know, it wouldn't always be an easy path. It's like because that person, you're bringing them in, drawing them in, and they kind of act like a mirror for you. It's like it's things that you admire in them and that you wish you were like yourself. And yet, you know, you haven't achieved that yet. And sometimes it can grate on you when you go, I'm working on this, you know. Okay, and then the fifth connection is a Neptune in the spiritual. So this is also with kind of that, you know, dreamy, idealistic. You know, you guys could have been like, you know, monks in the same order, you know, something like that. But you've got the fact that you've got these two, you know, spiritual past life, spiritual connections, you know, that he's your cosmic reward card, you know, it's like he's also a karma card. You guys have some things to work out. The attraction is really high. This is like
for which one?
Think of it. Yeah, if you look at attraction is think of a thermometer. Okay, so where you've got, you know, the 0 degree, you know, Mercury, you've got 10 degrees above, 10 degrees below. Okay, so it's like plus 10, minus 10. The attraction is a plus 7. So that's really
wow. Nice.
The intensity is a 4. Which is, it's a little high, but it's doable. It means you guys might, you know, maybe argue, bicker a little bit, you know, whatever, but it's like you have a little more conflict. Your overall compatibility, though, is a 2. And it's like 2 is not bad. It's like I don't look at them as being, you know, a quote, bad connection until they're like negative something, okay? It's like, you know, when you get to negative one, you go, yeah, you might want to read them. This is like, you know, what are you really getting into this relationship for to learn? But, I mean, I had my soulmate, and it's like we only had, I mean, ours was like an attraction of 2, an intensity of 0, and a compatibility of 2. And I was like going, if we'd have had any more attraction, it's like if it had been any higher, I think we would have spontaneously combusted, you know.
Seriously.
But we got along very well, you know. So it's like, yeah, so a 7 is really intensely high. The intensity, you know, you might argue and bicker a little bit, but still that compatibility, you know, you guys can make it work if you wanted. The other one was that 9, okay, the 9 of diamonds. Okay. Here's
so all of that that you just, all of that you just said was about the 12-4?
Yeah, that was all about the December 4th guy. That was
okay.
The Ace of Diamonds. Okay.
Okay.
Your January 18th guy. Now, this is a Capricorn, and it's like, and where you're a Gemini. Okay. That's the other thing I will say is the December is a Sagittarian. Sagittarius is really nice because it's a mutable sign, and Gemini is also a mutable sign. It's like you're air, he's fire. You know, it's like, you know, fire. It's like fire warms the air feeds the fire, you know, so that's a little more, you know, compatibility based. The Capricorn would be a little bit, I'll say a little bit harder just in the sense that that's an earth sign. And they're starters, you know, but sometimes they have a hard time following through. It's like I have a Capricorn child. We won't go through. We won't go there today, and she's 14. But anyway, let's see, yeah. Okay, but with that 9, the first one actually is a Neptune in the spiritual. So this is, you know, this is like a past. Oh, my goodness, you've got, this is why this one. You've got four things in the spiritual, which is like, you know, past life connections. So the first one is Neptune in the spiritual. The next one is Pluto in the spiritual. The third one is, now this one is would be a cosmic lesson for you, okay? So you would get together with this person to learn something. And you've also got the fourth connection is a cosmic lesson in the spiritual, and then the last one is a Mars in the spiritual. So there's the attraction is 6. The intensity, you know, a little bit lower attraction, but the intensity is a 5, up the intensity. And it's like the compatibility actually is like is to the -1. Am I going to say, okay, you know, this is that one where you want to examine, do I want to be with this person, with this Capricorn guy, do I want to learn the lessons involved? Because you do. You've got 4 things that are coming forward to go, you know, I mean, this might be a person you might want to, like, date for a while, you know, figure out what the lessons are and how that works out. But Neptune can be... it's dreamy. It's, you know, it's seeing the highest thing in people that, you know, you possibly can see. But there's also that possibility of deception. It's like if you put on the rose-colored glasses really hardcore, you can also kind of get all, say, you know, taken in. Okay, it's like they can pull the wool over your eyes. Just saying that. Okay, not that he's doing that, but it's just, you know, there's always that cautionary there with the Neptune. The fact that it's in the spiritual, it's like, yeah, there's something that happened. You know, previous times where it's like, you know, maybe I, you know, and I'm not sure. I mean, just looking at these going, wow. that Pluto in the spiritual, okay, again, that's some power and control issues. So it's like, you know, there may have been some deception, there may have been some, you know, power and control things, you know, whatever, or, I mean, it could have been, you know, in the same, you know, monk order or something like that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, there's things that were not finished in that lifetime that, you know, that might be coming forward to finish. Now, the cosmic lesson, this is someone who, you know, and you've got that twice, once for this life and once for the past life. So it's like there's, you know, whatever the lesson is, it's like how important is that you want to learn what this lesson is?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're
definitely
going to learn.
It makes it seem like it's not even worth learning.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It could be worth it.
Yeah, you know, it's like, and yeah, it's like it might be, you know, I don't know, it's like, you know, but like, say, anytime there's the spiritual stuff, it's like there's some past karma coming forward where, you know, somebody needs to work something off with somebody. So I'm, you know, just looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, it might possibly be he might have some stuff to work off with you or something, you know, or vice versa, you know. The Mars in the spiritual, that could be you guys might have been soldiers together. You know, you guys might have died
mm-hmm.
in the same battle, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, or you could have been soldiers on the opposing forces. You know, you could have killed
yeah.
them in battle.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not, you know, it's like it just depends on how, you know, how this is coming forward. It's like, you know, it depends on what you guys, you know, your connection is. Because you've got some fairly good intuition. I'll just put it that way. You've
yeah,
got
I do.
On things. Okay, there you go. So go with your gut, you know, it's like figure out, you know, kind of what you're wanting to do, you know, with each of these gentlemen. And I will say just, you know, what I'm going to say overall is probably the connection with the Sagittarian is going to be overall an easier connection than with the Capricorn guy. You know, it's like the December 4th guy is going to be an easier connection for you than the January 18th. Not that you can't make them work, but it's like that January 18th would take, you know, it take a good amount of work. It would become, you know, yeah. How much
so,
do I want to work
wanted,
my relationship?
I just want to tell you something. The Sagittarius is my fiance. I've been together for 6 years. We just got engaged on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And the other guy is someone that I just happen to be interested in who doesn't really even know that I am.
Okay. But that's okay. So that's why the interest is there. Is because of past life connections. But it's like
yeah,
it was not,
it's like something
it was
is drawing me
connection.
To that.
Right, and that's what Pluto does. Pluto is that power planet. It's like, and it does. It draws you to people. It draws people to you when you've got those power and control issues to work out. You know,
oh
and they're not readily apparent on the surface. But it's like it's not till you get, you know, till you get in there, you know, and it's like, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, and they each have a high side and a low side. You know, the Pluto on the high side is, you know, wow, I'm thankful this person in my life. You know, I'm learning so much, blah blah blah. But that's because you're taking the lessons. If it
mm-hmm.
turns into the lower side, that's where you can actually get into really abusive relationships, you know, literally
mm.
people on each other and that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know,
mm-mm.
you don't necessarily, it depends on, you know, where people take it, but it's like it can turn to that. It can start out really great, and I've seen
mm-hmm.
things like this happen where, you know, they start out, oh, it's wonderful roses and this, and it turns to a bed of thorns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it goes from
that's
roses
so
to thorns.
True.
So it's like, so,
when
you know,
you said that,
yeah.
When you said that something is a karma, you said he's the first one to my karmic lesson.
Right.
What does that mean?
Your karma card.
What does that mean, your karma card?
Karma card. Okay, let me just, so I don't get asked that one a lot here, so let me.
I've heard that someone
said
that to me twice. Someone said that about him to me twice already, and I wasn't really understood what is that. What is a karma card? I'm like, is it something I'm getting paid back for? Like, did I do something in the past? That's my payment.
As you say it. If it is, it's a good one. Okay, it's one of the most, okay, here it is. When your karma
Kayla,
card...
Kayla, you slammed the door.
And to each other. That's, yeah, and it's to each other. Uh-oh. Yeah, I know. I got
sorry.
Oh, my gosh. It's probably more of an irritation to you just because moms are that way. It's like, it doesn't bother me because I tune it out. I
She's
like,
not even her. That's the crazy part. You know what I was going to say to you? Because it's crazy. It's only when I'm on the phone, too.
Right. Yeah, it
but,
is because you're self for exactly.
But what I was going to say to you is that I am very intuitive, and there was a gentleman who I had a very strong connection to. That it was like if when I'm around him, it was as if like time just stood still. Like I didn't even realize what time it was anymore.
Right.
And I studied numerology, and our numbers were all like natural match numbers, and I'm like that could be
wow.
why it's such a strong connection.
Right.
But maybe when you say that, when you do feel that with a person, it's because probably there is like a past life or something with that person.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's what it says when your karma cards to each other, because this karma card's in the mutual. It's one of the most common and powerful of the relationship connections. It's one of you owes the debt to the other from a past life, and this debt, you know, this life, the debt's going to be settled. You get along very well as both of you are willing to give and receive. If not, it could be a difficult relationship. So you both have to be willing to be givers, and you both have to be willing to be receivers. You're strong mirrors of each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't like what you see. If there's anything in your partner you don't like, realize now that those are parts of yourself you've either forbidden yourself to express or you have for some reason avoided up till now. In truth, you two are very much the same, and in this regard, connection is really a deep bond that can make you feel very close to one another. You've attracted that person in order to explore other facets of loving yourself, and you've chosen a mirror to help you learn to love yourself. And this is true with him, too. This is how he's seeing you, too. It's one of the most powerful and intense connections for relationship, and you got to handle it with awareness if the power is to be used in constructive and loving ways. And they get a little bit on the symbology. It's like
that's very true, though, because things that I get mad about him about, I think, and I'm like, I do the same thing. It's crazy.
Yourself in the mirror, exactly. It's like, and he's going to be the same way. You got to realize that it goes both ways. This energy goes both ways. He's going to do that too. So if there's some way, if he's open to this, you know, if you can say, you know, by the way, I found this out and blah blah blah. It's like, you know, but we need to be aware as a couple. And it's like, it's funny because you know, we've actually, you know, had the opportunity to do, like, you know, some marriage counseling for people who are in trouble. And it's like, and they go, wow, we never realized this. And it's like, and once they dealt with awareness, because they have a lot of Mars connections, it's like once they dealt with it in awareness and going, oh, wow, you know, see what's going on, it did 180-degree, you know, turn. I mean, they were going, you know, we're thinking about divorce, but it's like, no, you don't have to do that if you don't want to, you know. And all of a sudden, it's like the eyes are open. They go, oh, whoa, here's why we're together. It's like, okay. And then they looked at each other with fresh eyes. So it's like, you know, so you can take any connection you have. It's like, I would have almost bet against it. I was just sitting there going, man, these people are, you know, two Mars connected. And it's like, and they decided, no, it's like, nope, we're going to work with this, because now that we know, we're going to go for bike rides, we're going to go for hikes, we're going to go this, and we're going to keep it on the up. And they did. And they just literally, I mean, it's just literally, they turned their marriage around. It's like, well, okay, you know, free will is a wonderful thing, you know.
But you know what, though, that you're saying that, though, is that I feel like he and I don't have a lot of the same interests, though. And we don't have, I need to be intellectually stimulated, whereas we don't have intellectual conversations. Like, our topics are just about our daughter, and that's pretty much what we're eating for dinner.
Right. Okay, yeah.
So I feel bored when I'm with him. But he's a good guy, so that's the thing. Which I think also is why I get attracted to other people, because I know part of me deep down is missing things, you know?
The mental stimulation. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm missing that. He doesn't have the same sense of humor, whereas everyone knows me to laugh and be funny and make them feel better from laughing, whereas I don't crack up laughing with him. Just like, he doesn't even get the same things that I think are funny. So I'm just sitting here like, okay, I really battle, like, what's more important, the fact that he's a good guy or the fact that, like, is that more important than me laughing or feeling like I'm with my best friend?
You know, the thing is, oh, wow. I mean, I wish Bonnie was still on here. It's like, yeah, I would ask her on this. I would encourage you to call back, because I'd like to have you, you know, take another shot at this and let Bonnie kind of, because she's a counselor, okay? It's like, she's got, you know, I'll say she's got her real world degrees, but she's, you know, she's also very intuitive with what she does. And Susan, it's like, they're on a Monday. You know, because really and truly, I mean, from my perspective, is our children grow up to recreate the same type of relationships that they see their parents in.
Very,
like,
true.
If you have a really, you know, if you have a really loving, you know, positive relationship, they're going to grow up looking for, you know, and it's like, you know, daddy cherishes me, you know, whatever. They're going to look up, because, you know, a man, you know, the father is a really important guy for a little girl, because if he cherishes that child, she's going to grow up and look to someone who cherishes her. And she's also going to look for somebody who, you know, how did he treat mama? Did he treat mama good? Did he treat mama bad? So if you're, you know, you're really building the future with your children and your relationship. So it's like, yeah, it would be, it's better if you guys could, you know,
I don't know, would he be open to, like, you know, taking a marriage counseling class or, you know, a counseling class together, you know, something like that, or, you know, go and doing some fun stuff. You know, it's like, and I'm surprised, you know, because I'm really and truly, it's like Ace of Diamonds people, it's like, well, okay, he's got a three of spades. He's a lot, I'll say maybe indecisive. He's got a lot of indecisiveness. He's a really creative person, though. It's like,
he doesn't show it, though.
He doesn't show it. Okay.
No.
What is his job?
He's a supervisor for Home Depot.
Okay. Okay. So
he's really good at his job. Everyone speaks so highly of him.
Right. He's under fluorescent lights a lot. Oh, he needs to, you know, it's like, I came out in the sunshine.
He's very, like, quiet. He's very quiet. He's very quiet until he gets to know people. But you know what you just said, though? His parents are not very loving. His mom still cries about the fact that her father never does, her husband doesn't do anything with her. And I said, I don't want to grow up and be in years of a marriage and be like how your parents are. No offense, but
right.
I don't want to be like that. I feel like my daughter should know what that feels like, to feel like somebody loves her, not just because we're living in the same place.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, and does he do things with her? Does he take?
Oh, he's amazing. Amazing.
Okay. So he's doing the loving thing with her. So now what you got to work on is the loving thing.
When
with
it comes
her.
To me, exactly. But
yeah.
I feel like that should be natural, though.
You know, boy. It's kind of like, I think of Einstein, the real, well, I don't know, somebody said it. It's like genius is, you know, 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. It's like sometimes you got to work. You know, it's like sometimes you got to work at, I mean, I'll pick on my own relationship, for example. My husband and I, it's like literally, we were like, I don't know, our twin flame soulmates, you know, whatever you want to call it. We were insanely in love. It's just like, and we knew it. You know, it's like we got married. It's like, wow, you know. And 3 months later, we were struggling. And it's like, so we went into marriage counseling because we were both intellectuals. You know? Yeah. So we're sitting right here, you know, we're sitting in here. And it was somebody that he knew. Thank God he picked a woman. So it was like, okay, it wasn't somebody who hammered on me. But she was really balanced. And she said, okay, here's what, you know, okay, you know, he's like, what are your gripes? Okay, and write these down. What are your gripes? Okay, write these down. Okay, so here's, and it's like, what attracted you guys? Okay, well, these needs to be, okay, so here's where, I mean, and what she pinpointed was the fact that we lacked communication, you know, and it's like, and yeah, I mean, you know, we both had a little bit different, you know, interest, personality, we talk about that, it's like, yeah, he was very political, I was not, you know what I mean? But at
exactly.
least, no, but at least he laughed. I mean, as a Sagittarian, you know, he laughed, and he was really, you know, really into, you know, loved the barbecues, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's maybe along the lines of, let him know. It's like, you know, Bob, you know, I love you. You're a great guy. It's like, what can we do to make our relationship better, you know, for this little girl? Because here's what we're doing is we're, you know, it's like, and put it in terms of the child, because he obviously, if he's doing stuff with that little girl, he loves her. And it's like, and that's important.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
You know, it's like, right, you know, so it's like, I would like to know how we can be a better model for her. So, you know, it's like, do you want to, you know, have her grow up and have, you know, a relationship like what your mom and dad had, or can we do something better? Because that's what myself and I did, you know, my husband and I did. It's like, we looked at my parents' relationship. We looked at his parents' relationship. He went, oh, my God, I don't want that. I went, oh, my God, I don't want that. We kind of looked at each other and went, can we do something new? And she said, you know, the counselor was like, yes. It's like, this is what you guys need to do. It's like, you need to be aware of, you know, the patterns that you're coming out of, and you need to do something different. And we did. So, but
yeah.
It was a constant choice. I mean, we're talking about we did 3x5 index cards on the bathroom mirror in the morning, read them every morning, read them every time we went to potty. You know, like,
wow.
We passed the things around the house and went, okay, because, I mean, it just seems like, I'm trying to pick on an example. For example, you know, the way I perceived him showing love was if he would do, you know, XYZ. And the way he perceived showing love was, you know, ZYX. You know, so it's like he would do things that he perceived as loving, and I didn't get it. And I would do things that I perceived as loving, and he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, what you got to do is you flip and you change shoes, guys. It's like, you know, here's your study card for him. He likes it when you do this. She likes it when you do this. So you show the person the love the way they understand it. And it takes a mindset. It's going to have to shift some gears. And it's like, it doesn't happen overnight. We were in counseling for like 3 months, you know. After 3 months of marriage, we were in counseling for 3 months. And it, you know, but it did us a whole lot of good.
It helped.
You know, we went once a week, basically. You know, but just
it doesn't necessarily mean it's, you know, relationship in trouble, but, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, if you think he's a great guy, he probably is. I mean, you know, personally, I'm just going to say Sagittarians. I think Sagittarians are great people because my husband was a Sagittarian, and I'm an Aquarius. I'm there, you know. And it's like, definitely, it's, you know, it's a good mix. But it's just it's learning about the other person, and you have to step out of your comfort zone. And this is where that learning stuff comes in. You step out of your comfort zone to figure out, what does the other person think is loving? It may not seem loving to me. It's like, oh, my God, he thinks it's loving when I clean up the stove after he cooks. Really? Okay, fine. I'll take that greasy mess on.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's like, this is love. I'm going up and doing it because I love it. Okay, honey, I cleaned the stove for you. And he would. He would just, you know, stupid things like, he'd just light up. Now, with the toothpaste, we got our own tube of toothpaste because I squeezed it from the bottom and rolled it up, and he squeezed it from the middle, and we drove each other crazy with that. But, I mean, it's just a stupid little
thing. There you go.
You know what happens, you know? But, you know, and sometimes there were things that we agreed to disagree on. It's like, because you can disagree without being disagreeing. It's like, some of his politics, it's like, I really love you, but, you know, I don't like politicians because my attitude with politicians is, you know, how you can tell when a politician is lying and stuff is moving. He wants to be a politician. I'm like, oh, God, no, forbid. You know, so there's areas, you know, you might agree to disagree on. And it's like, and then something comes up later on, and he would come and go, you know, I just learned this, da-da-da-da-da. And I go, uh-huh. You know, it's like, and I never said, I really bit my tongue, never said I told you so, but I just go, wow, that's really interesting, you know, and he'd go, you know, it made it easier for him to go, well, you were right. It's like, okay, well, thank you.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you had that experience, you know, whatever it is, but it's like, but you don't rub their noses in it when they, you know, when they come and go, yes, you know, you were right. It's like, okay, you know, I'm so glad you learned that from someplace other than me. It's like, you know, but it's all about communication, because communication is the lifeblood of any relationship. It doesn't matter whether it's with your children, with your parents, with, you know, your spouse, with your friends, with, you know, whatever. It's like, a good communication is going to give you much better relationships, just, you know, flat out. So anyway,
yeah.
That's my two.
I just feel
yeah,
like
I know you're highly intuitive.
I am. How can you tell that?
You're a card set up.
No secrets, huh?
You're a two of diamonds, man. It's like, those are intuitive people. It's like, okay, it's like, you may hide it. You may hide your lighter in your basket. You know, you may not, you know, it's one of those, you know, secret things. But usually air people, you know, Gemini people, there's a lot of people that are very highly intuitive. And what's so funny is, I mean, I grew up very, very fundamental, very traditional, very, you know, my grandmother was the organist of the Episcopal Church, let me tell you. You know, it's like there was you know. But, you know, I'm here and I'm going, you know what, I have no problem with what I do now, because I see this as spirit. In fact, you know, the cards that I use are actually in the Bible. They, it's the three wise men, you know, the three magi, the three astrologists in the East, whatever you want to call them, the three guys that showed up to give Christ, you know, gold, incense, and myrrh, and whatever, frankincense and myrrh. This was the card system that they used to find him. And it's like, and, you know, so it's been in hiding for a long time. It was, you know, there 2,000 years ago. It was there long before that. And it's, you know, it's just come out, I'll say come out, this card system's come out of closet since the 1800s with this guy, you know, whatever. So I don't have a problem, because I go, God is a spirit. And, spirit and truth. And it's like, the other thing that people, you know, spiritual, it's demonic. It's like, you know what? I read when there was a war in heaven and Michael and the angels battled and all that, it's like, I'm sorry, there was like, for every one that fell with Satan, there was two that remained faithful with God. So I'm sorry, God's got a two-thirds majority. So all the spirit activity going on, it's like, yes, you know, Satan is walking around like a, you know, roaring lion seeking to devour, blah, blah, blah. And yes, we do have a lot of crap going on this planet because of this. But, you know, the two-thirds majority still holds. I'm sorry. You know, I know who's going to win. I read that book. So I know
where
I'm at.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I don't have a problem with what I do or, you know, things like that. So
no.
Anyway,
exactly.
I don't know how I got up on that, but yeah. So, you know, but it's like a lot of places will, you know, I'll say demonify, you know, it's like, oh my God, you're doing this. It's like, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm doing it with spirit, with God, with whatever. I say Lord's Prayer before I start, and it's like, and your problem is what? You know, this is my relationship with God, and this is what we do.
Exactly.
But yeah,
exactly.
Intuition is a good thing. Intuition is a good thing. Whether, you know, it's like, I don't know if you were ever a Thomas Magnum fan. Let's see, Magnum P.I.
Yes.
Tom Selleck, there we go. You know, because my little voices, I'm like going, I can identify with that.
Yes, exactly. Are you also a medium?
I'm not claiming that right now. I'll just say that
I'm not claiming that. You said
I have a group. Let's say I have a group that on the other side is like, you know, I mean, I know who hangs out with me. It's like, you know, my mom, my sister, my husband, you know, and various relatives who I've all outlived, you know. So they come around going, oh, you know, we can put a word in edgewise. It's like, and I have a group that debates. I have the debate team on mine. Let's make a decision. It's like, you know, tell me the outcome. I'll forego the debate. And it's like, I'm not going to put my two cents in there.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily get that for everybody. You know, it's like sometimes we get our own families so much better than we get anybody else's stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I have my mom that's passed too, that I feel like she's, I haven't been to her gravesite once, and I feel like she's with me all the time. Like I can really sense that.
You know, when
I sense it.
The spirit returns to God who gave it, and the body returns to death. So it's like, her, who she is not there. It's like, you know, probably makes her happy. Oh, you give me flowers.